You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
What does that matter to a bloated millionaire fat cat like you? In other financial news, stock markets rose both domestically and abroad today after the announcement of stronger-than-expected earnings by several high-tech companies, but dipped again, reacting to reports that Nicholas Van Orten had sneezed. Are you going to spend the rest of the evening prying at that clown's mouth?
I
don't... It's frustrating for me if you don't pay attention.
What is this?
This is your game, Nicholas, and welcome to it. I'm here to let you in on a few ground rules. You receive the very first key, and others will follow. You'll never know where you'll find them or how you'll need to use them. So keep your eyes open.
How do you... You can see me?
Now, let's save the questions till afterwards.
How does this work?
There's a tiny camera
looking at you
right now.
It's impossible.
You're right, impossible. You're having a conversation with your television.
There's a guy I don't know wearing a Chris Crespo shirt.
Chris Crespo radio show. Everybody likes it.
Listen to his shit.
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
First, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What about you guys? We ain't found shit.
Well, we might as well have a good time.
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Adobe Pirated Software. Welcome to episode 217 of Cinema Crespediso. This is a restart. I just did about 2 minutes and then it didn't record. Well, actually, no, 30 seconds of it recorded.
Nice.
The 30 seconds, which I said, hey, I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hosting Florida's number one movie podcast, Cinema Crespediso, the podcast that always records perfectly and there's never any fuck-ups.
Always.
Why are you laughing so hard, Drew? Why are you laughing so hard,
it's
man?
It's funny. You said a funny thing that's not true.
Weather update for the month. It's hot outside. Your current threat level is cyan. Conceal your hopes. Your hopes must be concealed. If you don't,
then they'll know.
Then the finger man will come in, they'll black bag you and take you away. And then all your relatives will be like, well, how do we claim the life insurance when we can't prove you actually died?
Why are they called finger men?
Because they're going to finger you.
Ooh.
Out of a lineup.
I don't like that.
They're not proctologists.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not, actually. Some of them might be proctologists on the side. That's Drew Sikaligra. Drew, how you doing, dude?
Doing, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a great start to the episode.
Great start to the episode. I'm going to have to do this again because I didn't record top 10 downloads for the United States. That sounds ridiculous to us, but the people listening, this is all brand new.
They have no idea.
Top 10 downloads for the U.S. California, New Jersey, Maryland, North Carolina, Illinois, New York, Ohio, Texas, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Colorado, Washington, D.C., coming out 11 and 12. International, China, Japan, U.K., Colombia, Canada, Brazil, France, Australia, Sweden, and Korea. I'm telling you, Drew, we're going to Japan.
Are we?
We're going there. We're going to do a live
show.
We'd
be huge. I mean, both figuratively and literally.
Definitely literally. I mean, they'd be like round eye sumo. This is not making any sense.
Yeah.
Ooh, dude, cut my hair.
You're going to have to grow it back out.
And then get the top knot going.
Yeah,
and then I can go over there and start pushing people out of rings and throwing salt around and demanding
more food.
More food. Doing
go.
That thing.
Yes.
Okay, we're hanging out here in studio. We have returning guests the third time on, I believe. Very happy about this. Ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Wilson is with us.
Hi.
How you doing, Nikki?
I'm fantastic.
That's Wilson with two L's, people.
Yes, it is.
Two L's. Get it right.
Thank you so much for having me,
Thanks
guys.
Thanks for coming back. How's everything going?
It's
good?
It's a good time.
Everything is really, really good right now.
Yeah, you got things, you got some things in the hopper, some things popping for you?
Lots of things hopping.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Anything you might be able to tease us with?
Nope.
All right.
Keep them under wraps. That's
got to.
What you gotta do.
It works, damn it.
Well, we'll see what we can get out of you during the second half in the plugs. We'll see if you have anything to share with us. So,
Well, one little quick thing.
Yeah.
I am going to Cannes again this year.
Oh.
To the Cannes Film Festival.
Yes.
It's Cannes like can of soup.
No, it's Cannes.
No, it's Cannes like can of soup.
It's Cannes like Cannes of soup.
It's Cannes. Exactly. Like the Wrath of Cannes.
That's awesome. What capacity are you going there under? Like, who's sending you? Or
American Pavilion.
Yeah.
It's a student internship program. Mm-hmm. So we have 11 of our film students going.
Ooh.
And I'm going as an advisor.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
Adult babysitter, basically.
Chaperone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Adult baby. But who's going to babysit you?
Nobody. And that's
nobody.
The point.
There will be trouble.
That's awesome.
I'm super excited.
Okay, when is that? That's May, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to Barcelona the week before.
Ooh.
Nice.
Party
I mean, while you're there, you might as well.
I know. Last time I was like, why didn't I stay here for another week or
seriously.
Two?
Seriously.
So this
I mean,
time
true.
I planned it.
Once you're on the continent, you can get from city to city in a matter of hours.
True.
So,
country to country.
Although
they're getting ready to change that.
Yeah.
There's a few you can't. Saw that. Yes. Romania, Croatia, Poland, a couple.
Well, and
the EU's talking about shutting that down.
Well, no, exactly. Because a lot of those countries are in the EU, the entire EU is thinking about doing that whole visa thing, which will really fuck up travel in that continent.
Yeah, it'll fuck up their economy and
shit.
Yeah, that's really smart of them. Yeah, we gotta stop these murderous refugees from walking into our movie theaters and universities and shooting everyone.
Uh-huh.
It's the refugees doing it, right?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Totally.
It's definitely not
all of them.
It's definitely not the homegrown Americans.
That's what I saw on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's refugees.
Yes.
It's the Fugees.
Uh-huh.
Lauryn Hill.
The Fugees.
Yep.
Praz.
Yes.
Yes,
and Wyclef.
Especially Wyclef. When was the last time you heard of him? Because he's in the Kush Mountains. He's so high in those Kush Mountains.
Yeah, he is.
All the way up in those Kush Mountains. What the hell are we talking about? Guys, okay, Nikki, thank you so much for being here. Let's do the first half of the show, which means we start with the... Before you were here, it was the Netflix pick of the week, but we've upgraded 9000.1. It's now the streaming pick of the week, and that means we updated the intro music as well.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso Streaming.
That's right, Cinema Crespediso Streaming Pick of the Week time. We use the Crespediso Randomizer at 9000.1 to find out what is out there for people to watch. There are so many options. So we're here to let you know what you can just go straight to start watching without having to scroll through hundreds of titles on whatever streaming service you use, and you get so bored and so annoying. We've all been there. Nikki, she used the Randomizer 9000. You have our movie for us. What is this week's streaming pick of the week?
It is Green Room on Amazon.
Snap. That gets one of these. Polite applause.
Polite
applause on Amazon. That's right, on Amazon.
Indeed, I'm excited.
Amazon Prime, fantastic movie, one of our favorites. We talked about it a lot last year.
Yeah,
we got the poster actually
I
right behind you.
I saw that when
yeah.
I came in.
Yeah, pretty badass.
Love it.
Green Room poster. Great movie, fun movie. Patrick Stewart as a bad guy.
Yes.
Oh, that was
great.
Amazing.
Bad guy.
Yeah. He was so like calm.
Mm-hmm.
Matter
in, like,
of fact,
super
about
super creepy way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just give me some foot soldiers, you know, bringing the knives, et cetera, et cetera. Uh-huh. I need the red leaves. Like, oh, this guy, you're talking crazy racist shit about racist culture.
Just very matter of fact.
So in it.
Straight to it.
When he got on stage and was like, your drinks are free, come back here next week for next week's show, blah, blah, like, it's a family, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this guy. Like, fuck this guy. This guy's evil. This is crazy.
Is.
Green Room, fantastic movie about a punk band who took a gig. At a how would you describe that as
a dive
skinhead
bar.
Club?
Skinhead dive bar?
No.
Nazi dive bar?
Well, no, because it's definitely, like, that was, like,
out
part,
in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, part of whatever
their
thing
their
he's
community,
doing.
Their,
I mean, it's not like you can just, like, walk in off the street and be like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, because you have to drive, like, miles into the woods to find it to begin with.
Yeah, you gotta get past the gates with the posted signs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Lock the gates! And then they get there, they do their show, they open their set with Nazi Punks Fuck Off, and the Nazis throw bottles at them, but then they keep playing.
That was a cover.
It was a cover, mm-hmm. that Kenny's cover. And then the band keeps playing their other songs, and then the Nazi Punks are like, okay, these guys are okay. They start marching along, they're into it. It's actually a really funny scene. And then they see a murder, though. Or actually, they just see the murder victim, to mm-hmm. be fair.
Yeah, they don't actually see it actually happen. They see the aftermath.
They see the body, and they're like, oh. And, oops. And then it becomes a siege. They're locked in the green room. The Nazis are trying to get them out so they can get away with their murder. And they don't even care about the cops. They just want to get out of there.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, it's a brutal movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Anton, whatever his
name is. Anton Yelkin.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
It's a bummer now.
It really is.
Seeing the movie and seeing that, oh, this guy's dead for real.
Sad.
27, 28, something
and
like that?
And it was like a super freak accident. It was like one of the craziest.
His Jeep crushed him.
Like rolled back.
Because popping it in neutral or whatever was like, so it wasn't, sad. It wasn't, they had to recall for that exact same reason.
Yeah.
Oof, what a bummer. What a bummer. He's got a crazy...
Still a fantastic movie.
Great movie. Fantastic movie. Is it his final one then? Or was Star Trek his last one? I think Star Trek was the last one to come out with him in it. And Aaliyah Shawkat was in it. She's one of the band members. She was in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And she's on that show on TBS now, Search Party.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who's in Blue Ruin... movie that I got Jeremy Sonia did before Green Room, Dwight. I want to say Yoakum, but that's not him. Dwight Yoakum's another guy. And you know what? No, because he played Dwight in a movie. His name's not Dwight. But that guy, he's friends with the director, had to actually audition for the role that he got in Green Room as Patrick Stewart's like right-hand man because his friend was like, I don't really see you in this role. I don't know if this is going to work. And he's like, well, let me at least audition for it. And he did it. He got the part. He has since written and directed his own movie that is... just now made available on Netflix, and they call it a Netflix original, which now they're stretching the term, the Netflix original
yes,
term.
They are.
Now they're acquiring stuff that's already been made.
As long as we paid for it, it's ours.
As long as we pay for it, it's exclusively on our servers. We're calling it an original, but they didn't green light it. They didn't pay for it, you know, to have it made. Someone else made it, and then they're like, okay, well, we'll pick this up. I think they bought it at like Sundance or something in January. Anyway, Green Room, it's on Amazon. Totally worth it. We all like it.
Yep.
Right. Yes.
We're all recommending it.
Definitely do it.
So people watch that. Good stuff. Let's get into the box office recap for the week, and that means we're talking money, which means box office recap. We're starting our top five, Drew, with number five. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number five this week.
I like it when that happens.
Before I Fall made $4.9 million. Don't even know what the hell this movie
is.
Yeah,
me either.
Yeah, you know, and I saw... Before I Fall.
Mm.
I thought I saw this online. Let's see. It's Zoe Deutsch. Is that the chick from... I think it's a chick from Vampire Academy. That Vampire Academy movie that came out a few years ago.
And no one liked it. I missed that.
She kind of looks sort of like Ellen Page meets... like an Isla Fisher type of thing. You haven't seen this chick? Sort of like a Brit Robinson, Emma Rob.
Oh, she's hot, but right? I don't know what.
Well, I mean, all these girls look the same now.
They're all cute.
Yeah.
They're all young, cute. They look too young. Although this says she's 22. She looks like she's 17.
Oh, good. For a second, you got me worried.
Yeah, right. Well, I double checked the age myself. She was the, her face looks familiar. The, that Bryan Cranston. James Franco movie that came out last...
Why Him or something?
I missed that. I forgot about it completely.
I didn't ever want to see it.
Yeah,
I don't even know why they made the movie.
Yeah, I didn't miss it.
One of my students was a production manager on that.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Grads, I guess.
I mean, yeah... Good job. You made some money. Congratulations.
This girl's been kicking around for a minute now. She was in Dirty Grandpa. Everybody Wants Some.
I missed those two.
Yeah. Oh, and also a lot of... the garbage. She played Gossip, uncredited as Gossip Girl in The Amazing Spider-Man from 2012. Okay, so she is in this drama mystery, which is February 12th, just another day in Sam's charmed life until it turns out to be her last. Ooh. Stuck reliving her last day over one inexplicable week, Sam untangles the mystery around her death and discovers everything she's in danger of losing. So it sounds like a high concept thriller type thing.
What's it rated?
It is rated PG-13.
All right, so kind
of
young adult, probably.
Yeah, if it was rated R, it might have had more potential. The director, Rai Russo Young, born in 1981 from New York. She was an actress. And before she got into directing, it looks like. Anyway. Giving some people some info on this movie that no one knows anything about. That still came out number five. How much did it make?
4.9 million.
Not bad for a movie with like no marketing. How many screens?
2,346.
I wonder if it was a book first. That's the only explanation for that.
I'll check that right now. Let's see. What's it called? Before I Fall?
Before I Fall.
Before I Fall. Book. Before I Fall. Book. And... novel by Lauren Oliver.
There we go.
That explains
a
it.
A 2010 young adult novel.
Ah, yeah. There we go. Even better.
Written in first-person narrative of a teenager who is forced to relive the day of her death every day for 1 week. So that sounds horrible.
The concept sounds like...
It sounds like a bummer. Like, oh, let's talk about dying every day.
Yeah.
Hey, but the teens went and saw it. Good for them.
Number four this week.
Number four.
The Lego Batman movie made $11.6 million, dollars, total of $148.5.
Almost under $50 million. That's a good haul. Awesome it's movie. A great movie. It's only been out for a few weeks, so you still have time to see it. And it's worth
it. It's on the list.
It's totally worth it, especially if you like
Batman at all.
Yeah.
If you like Batman.
No, and I love Will Arnett.
If you like the Lego movie from a couple years ago.
Will Arnett has solidified himself as, what, the second or third best Batman of all time?
It's gotta be.
Depending on how you think.
Yeah, depending on how you feel. Like, yeah, he's fantastic. It's a great iteration of the character.
Nice.
He's fun doing it. Zach Galifianakis is a great choice for the Joker. And then the movie, it's both irreverent and also has like a surprising amount of heart to it, which is weird. Between the Joker and Batman and stuff, it's weird.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, but very, very enjoyable. I liked it a lot. And we talked about it on the show before, so people can go ahead and listen to that.
Number three this week.
Number three.
The Shack made $16.1 million, seems total.
The Love Shack.
What the hell is that?
Christian exploitation.
This is Christian exploitation.
Oh, yeah. The god is a black...
Octavia Spencer's god.
Yes.
Which
that's
I would be fine with if I died and went to heaven and it was Octavia Spencer's.
Heck
yeah. I was like, you're god. Like, just don't give me a chocolate pie. We're good to go. Because I saw The Help. Some dude, like his family dies or his kids die or something. I don't know. And he finds a burned out shack in the middle of the woods. And
God
when he goes there, and like God's in there.
Who's
with, like,
the main guy again?
Sam Worthington.
That's right.
Yes, you know.
Yeah, he's not working anymore because he's a piece of shit. So.
Is he a piece of shit?
That's why he's in that early voice.
But he was just in Hacksaw Ridge. And just before that, he was just in Everest.
Is he going to be... is he going to continue Avatar for the next however many years?
Yes, he's
going to
be in Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. He's going to be in all the Avatars. Is he a piece of shit?
We'll see. You could find a lot of info on that.
Really?
Online.
Interesting.
Oh, totally.
Sam Worthington.
Nobody likes working with him. He's a problem child.
Interesting. I thought he wasn't getting that much work because no one... can remember his name despite him being in like some of the biggest movies ever all in the span of a year.
He's a hot dude, but apparently he's just an asshole to deal with.
Asshole. Google search. Sam Worthington, asshole. First, that weird American who's obsessed with Australia. Sam Worthington. Oh, that's a 2010 thing. Sam Worthington tackles paparazzi. That's a Live Journal thing. 2010. A lot of 2010. 2009.
Maybe it's insider information.
Maybe it is. Ooh, this is what we need on the show. No one likes Sam Worthington.
Sweet.
There was that year where he was in Avatar, everything. Clash of the Titans, and Terminator Salvation, all within 12 months.
They were just like trying to shove him down our throat.
They're trying to, and then it's like this guy is so bland and not good. No. Why? Why are so many people like on this guy's bandwagon all at the same time? And then all these movies come out, and he's easily the weakest part of all of them.
Yeah.
It's weird. I saw the movie did Man on a Ledge. That sucked. So he also has poor taste in movies. Wayne White guy.
Yeah.
Also Australian. Never heard him use his Australian accent.
Nope.
Not once.
Nope.
The least we can do is throw him in a Crocodile Dundee.
That would probably make him more interesting to watch.
I think so. Probably a better actor. Because he wouldn't have to worry about all his nasal A's and hard R's. He can just act.
Totally. Crocodile Dundee remake with him.
Yes.
Yeah. I like it, Chris.
There we go. We can do it with him.
Yeah.
Pitch it.
Like he stands in the middle of a street with an ox and he goes... waggles his fingers in front of his face. That was supposed to be a thing.
Yeah.
Crocodile Dundee was so popular when it came out.
I know.
It, like, blew the world up.
It's been on Netflix for the last 2 or 3 months, I think.
So Sweet. Has I've been meaning to. I've never actually watched the third one, Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles.
Oh, I missed that one.
Ooh, I've been wanting to rewatch that or watch it begin with because it's it was like written back in the day, never got made, and then someone dusted it off and like let's do this.
Nice.
But we're not going to update us.
Not changing anything.
Thing. So he's still going to be like weirdly homophobic and like calling gay people Sheilas and like oh, look at this Sheila over here and like bumping into hot chicks and stuff like oh man I got it.
Coming in number 2 this week.
Number 2.
Get Out.
You Get Out.
We can gross $26 million. Total is $75.9.
Fantastic movie. We loved it. Did you see it?
I loved it.
Yeah, give us your review of Get Out. What did you think of it?
I'm going to see it again for the second time.
Nice.
It's the perfect blend of like real world horrifying terror.
Yeah.
And Jordan Peele's comedy.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
100%. The TSA guy was my favorite.
That is Jordan. The TSA guy is Jordan Peele.
I know. Yeah, like, he should have just played it
himself. Yeah. He really
should
have.
But that guy did a great job, too. He was really perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah, the friend character. Yeah.
And I've been, like, reading all of these stuff that are all the hidden Easter egg things. Like, she doesn't even put the milk in her Fruit Loops because she's keeping white separate from colored.
No!
Like,
what?
All of these things. Like, super tiny little things that Peele put in there.
I gotta go back and rewatch the movie now. That's totally. Awesome. That's so good. Yeah,
everything.
It's so great. I saw I saw the headline, didn't read the article, but I saw it said Jordan Peele wants to make a whole bunch of horror movies that are all like based on social issues and stuff.
I'm totally okay with that.
100% totally fine with that. I'm on board.
What was fun for me, the dude that I'm dating, he's black, and we went together, and the whole theater was interracial couples.
Nice.
That's
like,
awesome.
It was such a weird thing that we were like, yeah, we're not going to be the only one, but then it was like everyone.
The whole theater was. And, but then when the movie ends, you're like, oh, he's looking at you like, you haven't asked me to meet your parents yet.
My mom's coming next weekend, and they're not going to be meeting. I'm not even going to ask.
Keep them separate. Separate for a little bit, just a little while longer. Maybe meet on the wedding day. That's fine. Yeah. That's funny. That's good stuff. Man, I want to rewatch it. Too.
Definitely made for great so conversation piece after. Like that's the best part is the discussion that happened.
Because it's smart.
It's very smart.
The movie has things that it wants to say, and it's based on issues and stuff. And it's not just like BS slasher stuff, or it's like it's got a point to it.
And I love that so many people, and when I say I love, I mean I roll my eyes at that so many people were like, oh, Peele hates white people. His mother is white and his wife is white.
Yeah, yeah.
He's half white.
He's mixed.
Yeah.
No, like, he doesn't hate white. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit.
He doesn't hate white people. He hates that part of white people.
He hates racist white people. Yeah, he's racist. He hates racism.
Yes, he hates white supremacy and the system. But God.
And no one else.
He's married to Chelsea Peretti. Yeah.
Right.
Can't get any whiter than Chelsea Peretti.
No.
She's as white as it gets.
And I don't think anyone else could have touched that film except for him. Like, I think it was just so Peele.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That wasn't coming from anyone else.
No. That was definitely his point of view, 100%.
And I love Blumhouse for them allowing people and someone like Peele to have a chance at making a horror film. And letting it be absolutely his voice. Like, they don't put in any input. They let the directors do their thing.
I mean, the numbers don't lie. The
Right.
I mean, that movie cost how much money to make?
$4.5
million. Yeah, under $5. That's the whole Blumhouse model.
It's made almost $80
million. Yeah.
So, I mean.
For a week.
Yeah, like, it's a great business model.
Well, it's also, I thought it was good marketing, too. Though. The one trailer they put out was like, this is weird.
It did, but it didn't give any of the good stuff away.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it gave some stuff away, but none of the good stuff.
And it didn't really have any of the TSA guy.
No,
not at all.
So you didn't know that there was going to be that comedy aspect.
Yeah, that's true. You expected, but the trailer didn't give away that there would be significant, a decent amount of comedy.
And that guy who's the lead, Chris, he is in one of the episodes of Black Mirror that I love.
Yes.
The one with the everyone's in cubes and everything, the bicycle one.
It was like 15 million credits or something.
Yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Or 1 million credits, maybe. Anyways, so I'm excited that he is getting stuff because I thought he was the best part of that episode.
He is also, I don't know, he may have been cast previously before Get Out came out, but now with Get Out being popular and his face being more popular, I noticed that he is part of the cast of Black Panther coming out next year.
Oh, yay. Yep. That's awesome.
Yeah, so the people behind Black Panther, Ryan Coogler and whoever his producers are, they pretty much run around and got just like the hottest best black actors and actresses everybody. Out there. All of them, and they're all in this movie.
I'm so excited for Black Panther. Yeah, not even funny.
It's gonna be ridiculously good. I mean, just the fact that it's Ryan Coogler doing it, yeah. It has me super pumped. I mean, God, it's already been over a year since Creed came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Creed was so good. It was so
and
good.
And it's going well, apparently. I have a couple friends on it right now.
Oh, yeah? Behind the scenes? Well, it's Marvel, though. They have smooth yeah. They have smooth
they know what the fuck they're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're still waiting for them to really fuck one up.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's going to be glorious when they do. It is going to be... Seriously, it is... You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was like... What they want their crown jewel to be like? I wouldn't be surprised
if they fuck up Avengers Infinity War.
Well, no, exactly. If they build up to like the Infinity Gauntlet and then it just turns into a massive pile of shit.
Well, I don't think that'll happen. But
well, neither do I. But still, it'd be hilarious.
They are spending $500 million per part.
Holy fuck!
It's a $1 billion budget.
Yeah, they announced a $1 billion budget on their latest production. They didn't
because everyone's in it.
Yes,
they probably $250 million of that is
and they're doing two movies, like you said, and it's Infinity War, it's so everything. It's like the biggest movie possible.
Got a lot of folks on that one too.
Do you?
It's got to be a huge fucking production.
You got to leak us those news stories.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it's got to be going Pinewood, on so many places at so many different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Pinewood is hosting. That's the soundstage.
Yeah, Pinewood in Atlanta, right?
Right,
yeah.
And they have 18 total soundstages. Mm-hmm. Avengers is using 11 of them.
I was about to say, what, 18 of them? All of them?
Pretty much.
Welcome to the Avengers studio.
I think the other ones are Black Panther, so Marvel's taking over Pinewood.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Welcome to Marvel Studios.
And I mean, yeah. Because they use the Pinewood UK for Star Wars stuff and what else do they shoot out of UK? And James Bond stuff out there.
I just learned that Dan Cathy, who's the CEO of Chick-fil-A, is like part owner of, he's a co-owner of Pinewood.
Of course he is.
That's how amazing. Fucking smart random bastard. Is that shit?
It's like when you find out that Steve Bannon was technically a producer, an executive producer on Seinfeld. Because he invested money. You didn't know that?
Holy shit,
Steve Bannon, racist-ass, anti-Semite Steve Bannon, is also a smart businessman, and he put a bunch of money into Seinfeld.
See, I knew I didn't like Seinfeld for a reason.
Oh, I love Seinfeld so much, so it breaks my heart now whenever I see it. I'm like, this motherfucker.
That was the only TV show my parents let us watch, so I grew to hate it because it was, like, force-fed to me.
Really?
Yes.
That's a shame.
I'm sure it's great. I just can't handle it.
Man, it's probably. I mean, it's probably only one of the greatest sitcoms ever.
And coming in number one this week,
number one,
Logan.
Logan
made $85.3 million. Sims total.
Talking about that, Logan, the new Wolverine, the last Wolverine. Already announced that it's going to be Hugh Jackman's last go around as a character. Patrick Stewart's final go around as Professor X, Charles Xavier. Set in they said 2029.
Yep.
Set in 2029. I don't want to say dystopian wasteland, but America doesn't look like it's in too great shape. The little bit that we see.
You know what it looks like? It looks like what's going on now is continuing and not getting better.
Actually,
what it looks like.
Yeah, in Logan, America 2029 looks like what America's going to look like maybe in like 2019.
Yeah.
Depressing.
It is a little depressing, actually. Actually, the movie itself is a little depressing overall.
It's a lot depressing.
Yeah, it's a dour film. It's old man Logan, old Wolverine. He's depressed and he's dying from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
And Charles Xavier, he's got a brain degenerative disorder, which, considering he's a psychic, it's very bad.
Well, not just a psychic, not just the most powerful psychic.
The world's most powerful psychic.
There are repercussions.
Yeah, so it's really bad news when he's having brain problems. And it's based on the comic books, the graphic novel, mm-hmm. Old Man Logan, but for parts of it, for people not familiar with it, it's a story in which Logan, he's just hiding out, he's just doing his thing, all mutants have been hunted down, they're all dead, and someone comes to him with a young mutant, and like, we need you to transport this person across the country. In the movie, it's from Texas to North Dakota, and he does it reluctantly, so it's a road movie. And he's being chased down by a group of people called Reavers, and it's a type of movie where every 5 minutes something else goes wrong.
Well, yeah, but the thing I like about this, it's kind of a departure from your regular comic book movies.
It's 100% a departure from your mainstream comic book movies.
It's pretty much a small, like you said, like a chase movie where everything goes wrong.
everything. Well, there's a stretch for 5 minutes when things are going smoothly, and I'm like, oh, this is not gonna.
And it just happens to be starring Wolverine and Professor Xavier and some small, other mutants.
It reminds me much more of Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven than it does any of the X-Men movies.
It has nothing. It barely feels like, like a Marvel comic book movie, but I think that's what I like about it the most.
Yeah, that's why I was talking to my dad yesterday. I was like, I think you might actually like this, even though you don't watch the X-Men movies. Yeah. He doesn't watch comic book movies. Like, I think you might still like this one.
Yes.
Because it's
I agree.
Just a good movie.
It's just a good movie. It just so happens that, the main character has adamantium claws that he puts through people's heads.
Okay. Let's talk about that. The violence of this movie.
Oh, I love it too. It's what I've been waiting for. Ever since Wolverine was put to film, this is what I've been waiting for.
A lot of people have been wanting the berserker rage. Yeah. He does that a couple times.
Yes, he does.
He gets so angry, he just like blindly starts slashing at people. In this movie, an arm gets cut off, a leg gets cut off, and claws go through, I think, two people's heads. And the opening credits aren't even done yet. Wow. It's still saying names on the bottom of the screen.
Yes.
I was like, what the fuck? Uh-huh. This is so intense.
Yeah, my favorite is when the claws don't like chop off the head, but they go through.
They
go through. Because it's like a hot knife through butter, dude.
Yeah.
Just, chink.
Yeah. And you see multiple.
Yeah.
Whatever angle claws could go through heads, back.
You see it.
Well, like from the back of the head through the front, from the side, at weird
all
angles.
Of it. Everything I've
through
ever
the,
wanted,
through the chin.
Through the chin. Everything I've ever wanted to see.
Symmetrical, asymmetrical. He does it all in this movie. You're like, why? It's so intense.
Because it's so much fun, that's why.
And there's so much blood and so much slashing to the point where now you go back, look at the other X-Men movies with Wolverine, you see him slashing people and fighting
and
people.
Like, oh.
Like, where's the blood?
Yeah. Where's the blood? Where's the headshots?
This is a bunch of bullshit, that you're really sanitizing. And the violence to a point where now I'm thinking all those other X-Men movies, it's dangerous for kids to be watching him with claws stabbing at people and then there's no consequence to the violence. This movie is the
total
opposite
consequence.
Of that, where it's all consequence. Whether he even says, he has a conversation with someone talking about killing bad people. He's like, it's all the same. You still have to learn to live with the killing.
Kill him good, kill him bad, doesn't matter.
And that's why he's an old, beat-up drunk who's angry at the world and angry at himself and hooked on barbiturates because he's lived 150 years of killing people. Has its toll on someone.
Yes, it does.
And then he's talking to the young mutant about, you have a rough road to hoe ahead of you if this is, unfortunately, the life you're going to live and everything. And it's, it's good. It's really good because it gets realistic without being like, taking away all of the comic booky stuff or taking away all the quote fun of it. It's just really shockingly, I thought, well made.
Yes.
Surprisingly well made.
Yes.
Especially if you're following the other Wolverine movies. Like the Wolverine, the one that was in Japan, it was good.
It was good. It wasn't Logan.
It wasn't Logan. It wasn't Logan, that's for sure. So I'm surprised by how much I liked it. I think it's great. And I gotta say also, I'm thinking between that,
Deadpool,
Get Out. No, I'm saying for this year specifically.
Oh, okay.
Got that, Get Out, John Wick Chapter 2, Lego Batman movie already in this year. I'm already liking 2017 movie-wise more than I am 2016.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought 2016 was pretty weak when it was all said and done. This one, it's kind of starting to look like almost an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah.
This early on, which is kind of crazy.
What I'm really liking is the fact that another rated R
comic book movie
is making a fuck ton of money.
A ton of money.
Which is awesome. I mean, it's not going to be this billion-dollar Avengers nonsense, but it's good to know that, real, actual stories can be told with these characters.
Yeah, if it can make close to a Deadpool amount of money, then that's just good for these studios to be willing to make more movies like these for adults.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying to make the Four Quadrant movie.
Well, and now it's going to open up these other comic book stories to be made.
Hopefully.
Now, we're going to be able to get, your DMZs, your Why the Last Man, your super strange stuff.
Oh, yeah, your non-mainstream, spandex type. Yeah, because that's another thing with this. Like, Wolverine doesn't even sniff a uniform.
They even make fun of the uniforms in the movie.
Yeah, because he actually looks at a comic book. You see in the trailer, he looks at a comic book and it's a blue and yellow, and he's like, this is bullshit. He grumbles, this is bullshit. Yeah. He wears the t-shirt, jeans and shirts.
Yeah, he's wearing a wife beater at the end of the movie.
He looks good in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman. God, he's mid-50s by now? I think he is.
They totally...
It's gotta be HGH, right?
It's gotta be.
How can he be in such great shape? Yeah. Even when he's doing Old Man Logan, he's still like in incredible
still
shape.
Still super ripped.
He's super ripped. And it's like, God, how does he do it? He's a song and dance man. Yeah. Ripped. That's running how. Around slashing people.
That's how. He's a song and dance
God,
man. Chris.
So annoying.
It's gotta be the song and dance.
I wish I was Hugh Jackman. Give anything to be Hugh Jackman for 2 minutes. 2 minutes of the day, I just want to be you. I'd run around singing and dancing and screaming in people's faces. Dude, is that Hugh Jackman? So it's great. We loved it.
Yes. Agreed.
Definitely recommend it, Nikki.
It's on the list.
Awesome. And everyone out there, it's definitely worth checking out for sure. Okay, let's talk about new movies coming out on DVD. Jackie, which I didn't get to see. Natalie Portman is Jackie Onassis. It's pretty much the immediate aftermath of the assassination of JFK. But from what I remember reading, though, it's like the movie itself is good. Really, everyone was into Natalie Portman and her work in the movie. That's what really, I think, elevates the film.
I didn't bother because I don't think I can handle her doing that accent for 2 hours.
That accent in the trailer bothered me.
Me too.
Yeah, at the end of the trailer, she's like, there'll never be another Camelot.
Yeah.
Not another Camelot.
Well, did you see the little blurb in the Oscars where she was? It was she got nominated?
I paid half attention.
I was like,
Yeah.
Like, I can't even handle this for 10 seconds. How am I going to handle 2 hours?
Doing the fake. Yeah, it's like,
uncomfortable.
But people were like, maybe it's the type of thing where after a scene, it kind of goes to the back and you forget about it. Like, when I saw The Artist, like 6 minutes into The Artist, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. and then like 10, 12 minutes in, okay, I forgot about the fact that it was a dialogue-free movie. Not silent, though. There's still music. Yeah. Music and sound effects. So they were liars. Another one was like that recently. I was like, I don't know if I could sit through. Oh, Hardcore Henry.
Yeah.
The POV one.
I didn't see that on purpose because I can't do POV.
Yeah, me too. I was like,
Some of it was good. Some of it kind of made me nauseous.
Yeah, well, that's the only time I sat in the last row of the theater, like as far away from the screen as possible to minimize the motion sickness. Because I like to sit as close as possible. But that would
normally me too.
Yeah, but that would have fucked me up. So that one was when I was like 5 minutes into it. I was like, I don't know if I can keep doing this. But then 10, 15 minutes in, that gimmick goes away and then you're just watching the movie. You know?
Oh, that's good.
So maybe that's the way it is with her accent.
Not to know the camera.
God, the way she says that drives me crazy. Moana comes out. So the Disney movie. I didn't get to see this one. They're Polynesian.
I loved Moana.
Was it really good? Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we be checking it out?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yes. It's fun.
The animated movies. I like the family movies.
The music is great. Mm-hmm. Lin-Manuel Miranda did a couple of the songs.
Right.
And actually, The Rock can sing better than I thought.
Wow.
Get it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're just putting some...
auto-tune?
Yeah.
That's possible.
Maybe just be auto-tuning the gentleman.
It's just fun. And for me, maybe it had a personal attachment just because... And I cried a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because it reminded me of the 4 months in Hawaii on Jurassic.
But
at the same time, it was well done. I thought it was Oscar nominated.
It was.
Yes, it was.
So it's good enough for that. You should check it out at least.
Who did lose to? Zootopia?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah, Zootopia won.
Still Disney.
Yeah. I like Zootopia too, but I like Moana better.
Did you now? Okay, interesting. Now I definitely want, because I like Zootopia quite a bit, but if you like Moana more, then I'm going to check that out.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, okay, very good. The Eyes of My Mother is a black and white horror film that I read a lot about online over the past year. And it's finally coming out on DVD. It's a type of thing where if it was going to play here in town...
It would have been at the Enzian.
It would have been at the Enzian or... Like, the Enzian, but like 9:30 shows only. Mm-hmm. Or it would have been at like Winter Park for a week. And then gone. You know, Thursday to Thursday, gone. But it's a movie about a girl who... her mom is a mortician, I think. And so growing up, she was always around dead bodies. And her mom taught her all about anatomy and stuff. So death doesn't freak her out. And then something happens to the family. Like, it shatters her whole idyllic upbringing. And then she, like, starts, experimenting with stuff or whatever. And the upbringing seems maybe to have fucked her up a little bit. Anyway, The Eyes of My Mother.
Sounds interesting.
Got some good reviews. Definitely recommend people checking out. Only one movie come out in theaters this weekend, but it's a big one.
Yes, it is.
Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Kong Skull Island.
There we go. That King Kong prequel. Directed by the guy who did The Kings of Summer, which is
A little tiny movie about a couple kids playing in the woods one summer, coming of age type thing. Yeah. And then someone at Warner Brothers is like, oh, that's a cute movie. Let's give that guy King Kong. That makes sense.
They keep doing that.
Yeah.
Jurassic did the same thing.
Safety not guaranteed. The Jurassic World is insane. Yeah. This J.A. Bayona guy, who he's already done small movies, and all of a sudden he's like, well, here's Jurassic World 2.
Yep. They can save money.
Is that what it is? They're just saving,
I think that's a big part of it.
Half a million, $1 million?
Yeah, absolutely. Why would you pay Steven Spielberg a shitload of money, or someone like Spielberg,
right,
a shitload of money when you can get exactly what you want? You have the ability to manipulate everything they do because they're newbies.
Yeah, they are. You can push them around more than if you're trying to get David Fincher to do your 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That's why that never happened, because he was like, oh, it's going to be dark and octopuses are going to be attacking. And Disney is like, this is a family movie. And he's like, I'm David Fincher. And they're like, we're parting ways at this point. This was a bad idea. Right?
They can pay them total shit rate, the bare minimum.
Yeah, but how, for only one movie, right? Colin Trevorrow, he's getting paid for Star Wars Episode 9.
Of course,
right?
Yeah, because he did Jurassic World. He proved
himself now. Yeah, right. But did he prove himself, or did Jurassic Park prove itself as a brand? The marketing team prove itself, right?
I think it was a combo of things.
Because Jurassic World was okay enough.
No.
It was okay.
I didn't think it was that great.
In retrospect, I could totally never watch it again.
Same.
And I don't think it would affect
my
life at
all.
Same,
and I worked on it.
It happens.
Well, right, that's a paycheck,
I didn't
though.
Even buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well,
no one buys that anymore.
Though. Seriously, who buys movies?
I still do. I have Greasy Strangler and Train to Busan arriving tomorrow.
Oh, Train to Busan's so great.
Train to Busan is fantastic.
Fucking love that movie.
Greasy Strangler, I refuse to see because it sounded so gross.
No, I mean it. It will be the most fun you ever have.
But is it as gross as it sounds?
Of course it has gross moments, but not in a way that makes you not happy about seeing it.
Okay.
Yeah. I promise. Sure.
I mean,
I'm going to hold you to that.
Chris, we've seen some pretty awful stuff.
I know I've seen awful stuff. That's why I'm trying to limit the awful things that I've seen.
No.
I mean, it can't top. So, I mean, it's not like we're watching the new Takeshi Miike movie, all right?
Yeah, is it like a Takeshi Miike movie?
I don't know what that is.
Gozu, Audition.
Oh, no.
Itchy the Killer.
No,
Visitor Q.
Any of those?
Visitor Q.
No, and it's really just, it makes you laugh the grossness.
Yeah.
So it's not like horror. It's
Takeshi Miike doesn't make you laugh.
No,
he's
I have
he's
never.
He's made me laugh a couple times.
Yeah.
When that one crazy Yakuza guy saw the poodle in the middle of the road, it's like, that's a Yakuza attack dog. And then he went out there and he beat it to death.
That was pretty fun.
That was funny.
That was,
but when you describe it, you say the words out loud. Yeah. It sounds terrible.
It does, but
in the context of the movie, it's funny.
Well, yeah. And compared to what else goes on that movie, that's probably the funniest.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got Bullhead Man.
Yes, you do.
Right.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That's a weird movie. Gozu is a weird movie. Okay, well then, Greasy Strangler, I'll take your word
for it. Do it up. I'll let you borrow my DVD if you want.
Oh, snap, a DVD.
Blu-ray.
Shit.
Got to get my Blu-ray. Oh, well, actually, got the Xbox.
And
no, the PlayStation. That's what I meant to say, yeah.
So. I like having the collection. Oops, sorry.
I have a huge collection. I love having my collection, but I just haven't bought movies in forever. Because it's like...
I only buy the ones I really want to keep.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The last couple of years was like, I only bought movies that like I just had like a deep yearning to rewatch. Like, Take Shelter. I went out and bought that one for like $5 because I want to see Michael Shannon maybe be crazy again for an hour and a half.
Love Michael Shannon.
Oh, he's so good. All right, well, that's what's coming out in theaters. Kong Skull Island. Based on the trailers, people who listen to the show for a long time know I am not down with the 3D, except for specific circumstances. For example, last year, Jungle Book and Doctor Strange, both great 3D movies. Like, they really utilized the gimmick from beginning to end the whole time. One of those things where I didn't forget the gimmick after 15, 20 minutes. You know, they made ways to make it keep working over and over. This movie, based on the trailers, I'm really thinking it has to be seen in 3D, Kong Skull Island, because there's a lot of shots of, like, people in the foreground, like, but you only see their back because it's like we're standing behind them. It's their POV, but they're in the foreground. Like, fire is in the midground, and then like Kong or a monster is in the background, like standing up. And you can tell it's totally a 3D perspective shot. But like, it's done like the original 33 Kong with the panes of glass and the way they shot Deft.
Yeah.
To do special effects, but doing that in a 3D digital model, you know, it sounds like fun and exciting to see an upgrade of the special effects that way. So
I followed the DP from that on Instagram. Of course, I can't think of his name right now, but I was touring. This is like a year ago.
Yeah.
Year and a half almost. I was touring Kualoa Ranch, which is where they filmed Jurassic and all that stuff in Hawaii, and they were filming Kong there.
Okay.
And they had like a helicopter fight going on.
Yeah.
Or like something happening. Yeah, the trailer.
A lot of helicopter stuff in the trailer.
So after that, a friend of mine sent me a thing that was like, this is the camera rig and it's crazy. So I was like, I'm gonna follow this guy, and it was really cool shit.
All the stuff, yeah. Well, ever since that first Kong marketing, the teaser trailer came out, and it was all like gorgeous, gorgeous shots of like nature and birds and islands and stuff. And then it had a very Apocalypse Now vibe to it. I'm like,
beautiful.
It does look like. And then the newest trailer kind of. There's two trailers. That first one is Apocalypse Now. The second one drops all that intense war vibe and makes it more like a colorful monster movie, like a kaiju movie. There's actually a sweet kaiju movie poster that they made for the Japanese release. If you look online, the director, Jordan Moat Roberts, however you say his name, he shared it, and it's just a sweet looking giant monster movie, like all drawings and stuff. It looks fantastic. I'm trying to look up. The cinematographer is Larry Fong. Larry Fong, who worked with Zack Snyder a lot. He shot Watchmen and Dawn of the Dead and 300 and things like that.
I wonder if maybe it's, because that doesn't sound familiar. Maybe it's first AC camera.
Another person. Yeah, there's a lot of people running around with
the... Is it that one?
Yes.
That is fucking
bitching. Is that an amazing poster?
Nice.
That is bitching.
Like, if this movie's good, that poster's going to end up in this studio.
Nope. You know what? Even if the movie's bad, that poster might end up in the studio. Seriously, it looks like an advertisement for... Like a Kong Skull Island ride.
Yes. Nice. Yes. It looks fun. It looks like a ride. Yes, yeah. A ride is a great word for it. It looks like a ride. Also, John C. Reilly is in it. And I'm a fan.
Heck yeah.
I know we're all going to die. You shouldn't have come here. We're all going to die.
You shouldn't have come. Also in it, two people from Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
Both Dr. Dre and Eazy-E. Corey Hawkins and...
Jason Smith.
Your phone is working. Yeah, well, it's Jason something. It's Eazy-E. Eazy-E is one of the soldiers. Brie Larson is in it as a photographer. I love her. She's fantastic. And of course, Tom Hiddleston, everyone. You know, he's mega popular.
Yep.
I saw there's like a picture that they put out, a promo picture for of them walking through, like they're walking on in a dirt field, and there's a giant like a giant ape or giant gorilla skull behind them that they're walking in front of. And Tom Hiddleston's standing there with his gun, and but the way he's standing with his legs crossed and like he's sort of leaning to the side, someone tweeted a picture of that with the caption, "Even walk around with the machine gun, Tom Hiddleston looks like he's leaning on a counter in a department store, like looking super cool." And then he just looks so cool holding the gun. Like, this fucking guy, he's too damn charming.
This fucking guy.
And even this guy can't wrangle that old Taylor Swift. What can any of us guys do, if anyway?
What's that have to do with anything, Chris?
Just Tom Hiddleston, man. Just keeping up with that Tom Hiddleston news.
We're talking about publicity stunts now? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, that too. Yeah. But they mistimed that one. Although, was that for a Taylor Swift thing? Did she have something coming out?
Don't pay enough attention.
Neither do I, to be honest. But you know who does pay attention and who can keep us in the loop on all these things? Our very own Dr. Drew. It's time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
I see you, Drew. I see you over there.
I see you, too. All
right, go ahead.
So I had something else to say, but no, we got sidetracked and something came to mind. So, Dr.'s 2 cents for this week is to stay away from Takeshi Miike movies unless you're looking for psychological damage. I mean, if that's your thing, and that's your bag, and that's what you're down for, by all means, watch away. But if you ever see a movie where it's quote-unquote directed by Takeshi Miike, be very fucking wary.
Copy that.
Cogburn out.
Cogburn out. All right. Yeah. Miyake. M-I-I-K-E. Google it. Learn it. Love it.
Be wary.
Be wary.
Are there trailers of this? I want to just.
Two. I don't know. I mean, even the trailers can be.
There's the killer trailer. Yeah. You can watch the trailers for his movies. His best period was probably the early 2000s. I can recommend, if people are looking for specific movies, I can recommend. I can recommend Audition for sure. That was the first one I ever saw.
Itchy the Killer.
And it's a horror film. Actually, the first 45 minutes of Audition is a romantic comedy.
Yes, it is.
And then the last 45 minutes is like the most horrific horror film ever.
Oh my God.
And it's really scary?
No, not so much scary.
It's
as
scary for
it's
dudes.
It's gonna fuck you up in the head.
It's actually scary for dudes. Some chicks may find it liberating.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, maybe.
So what you're saying is a dick gets cut off.
No. Maybe metaphorical dick.
Perhaps.
A metaphorical dick and balls get cut off. No, actual. Things do get cut off.
Oh, lots of things get cut off.
With piano wire.
Uh-huh. God.
Yeah. But no, I don't remember it. Genital mutilation?
No, I don't think so.
Not Antichrist level of clit removal?
No. Okay. No. Bashing yourself with a cinder block?
Yeah, no.
And then finishing? No. Why would you bring that up, Nikki? Why?
I mean, some of his stuff is that level of nonsense, though.
Well, not in that movie. Yeah, not in Audition.
Not in that one specifically.
Visitor Q has some things along those lines.
Ooh. I hate that I have this morbid curiosity because I really do want to see that stuff. I know it will fuck me up. Yeah. I still want to see it.
Well, then you should definitely see Takeshi Miike movies for sure.
Well, yeah.
Make me a list.
Sure.
Oh, we'll make a list, check it twice. And then you can curse us out forever because it will change your life. Look at
Not
look
in
at this face.
Way.
Look at this guy. He's 15 years old. Look how old he looks.
It's
Miike fucked him up.
It really, I mean, dude, my man. Visitor
you
Q.
You can't even form a sentence right now.
Visitor Q was the one that did it.
Visitor Q.
That movie just did things to my brain.
Visitor Q is an insane movie. And also, it was shot on digital video, but in the year 2001.
Yeah.
So it looks like America's Funniest Home Videos level digital video. Yeah. So it's another thing where, going along with what we were saying before, 10 minutes into the movie, I was like, I don't know if I can watch this cheap-looking piece of shit. I know it's Miyake, but it looks so fucking... Even back then, I was like, this looks so cheap. I can't imagine how it looks now.
Yeah.
But by the end of the movie, I wasn't paying attention to the video quality.
No.
I was paying attention to all the other horrible things. I was like, oh my God, no, what am I doing?
No, I remember the greatest part about watching that movie, I watched it with a group of people, and the movie... All right, so the movie ended... Not a fucking
word
was said. Myself and I think two other people immediately got up, walked outside, smoked a cigarette in complete silence.
In silence.
Nobody said a fucking word for probably about 30 minutes.
Which one was that?
Visitor Q.
Okay.
Which, don't start with that.
No, you gotta work your way into that.
I think you start with Dead or Alive. And if you're really interested, I actually have a couple of Miyake DVDs. If you wanna take home with you today, you can.
Maybe even start with 13 Assassins. 13 Assassins is almost a real movie.
Yeah, because it's a remake. It's a remake of a movie.
Minus the stump person.
Yeah, he has his trademark stump people.
But at least you get introduced to the stump people in a kind of easy way.
I'm going to lend you Dead or Alive, which is a Yakuza action movie.
Almost like superhero action.
Almost superhero action in a way, but it is so bizarre.
It is.
And that was the second movie of his that I saw. And that movie I saw with my friend Ron B. Long Beach Englewood.
Whoa.
And it's one of the few movies where, as we were watching it, there were at least three different moments where we had to... This was on VHS. Three different moments where we stopped the tape and rewound it to rewatch a scene because we were like, what the fuck? What was that? Yeah. Rewound it and then laughing our asses off because it was so over the top. So I'll lend you that. I can lend you Itchy the Killer because we have that. And I think that's all we have on Vivid.
Yes.
But there's other stuff they can find for streaming as well. And then,
I know that's a
rabbit hole that you will fall deep down.
I know Gozu is on Amazon Prime.
Gozu's on Amazon Prime. Yep. Audition was on Netflix for a long time.
For a really long time.
I don't know if it is anymore. That's the thing. This guy, he's been working since the 90s. And for the longest time, he was making like 4 movies a year.
Whoa.
He was cranking them out.
Not all of them are good.
No, that's the thing. So that's the thing. His hit-miss ratio is pretty poor.
Yeah.
So that's also
a strategy. Throw a bunch of shit at see what sticks.
So much of it. So then you end up with The Happiness of the Katakuris, which is a comedy, a musical comedy about a family that runs a hotel in the countryside in Japan, but they kill all the people that come and stay at their hotel.
Nice.
So you get things like that that are great, but then you get other movies that are like, this is fucking... This is just
nonsense.
This just straight up sucks. Or other ones... they're like, there's, I can't remember it. Actually, it took, was shot in Brazil, I think. I can't remember the name of it. Half of it was great, and the other half was so stupid. And then it had an ending that was just like some weird meta ending where a bunch of businessmen are walking down the street, and then they stop and they look at the camera and they yell something in Japanese, like, and then one of them, he takes like a like an energy drink, and he chokes the energy drink, kicks, throws up in the air, kicks it, it hits the camera, and like, and there's like a digital effect of them breaking the lens. And then he's like, and he screams at the camera, and then the businessmen all turn around and walk down the street and leave. And the movie ends, and that scene had nothing to do with anything that came before. And you're like, what? Why? Why?
Because he's crazy.
Because he's crazy. Because he would be, he, as he's in production on a movie, as he's in pre-production on a movie, he's doing post-production on the one before.
Wow.
And then as he enters into production on the new movie, he starts pre-production on his next one. So he's
nuts.
He's always working on two or three movies at a time.
He has no idea what he's doing.
I wouldn't be surprised if elements from one movie accidentally makes it into another one. And then he realizes, say, yeah, fuck it. Leave the Yakuza attack dog in this movie. It works either way. And then you should be like, well, then Takeshi, that's a problem.
No, it's not.
You can't lift parts of movies.
No problem. Solution. Keep it in.
He also has a cameo in Hostel.
Okay.
Eli Roth loves him. So he's the Japanese guy, for people that remember Hostel. He's the Japanese fellow that shows up at the very end as a customer, I think, to show up that...
I remember that.
That's that guy. He also made a spaghetti western.
Yes, he did.
With Quentin Tarantino as one of the actors in it.
Wow.
And he calls it Sukiyaki Western Django. Django as in Django and all that stuff. This predates Django Unchained. And it's called Sukiyaki Western because sukiyaki is a type of Japanese noodle. So instead of spaghetti Western, it's sukiyaki Western.
Nice.
Yeah, so, and it's a wild, ridiculous over the top. If you've seen The Good, Bad, and The Weird and you like that, then this is like that, but times 10. Man, we really went on a rant.
Yeah, we did.
Sorry.
No.
Miyake brings it out in us.
Miyake is great. But we do have to take a break. I got a Crespo Disco break here. Also, I got a message from the Wax Man. He's on his way, so we gotta take care of that. I forgot to write it down. What am I doing here? you know what? I just grabbed the first two tracks from the Logan soundtrack. Marco Beltrami, he's been around forever. I think he did the Lethal Weapon score. That's how long that guy's been around.
Wow.
So if you listen to movies from the 80s, and during the action scene,
that's why.
It's going... That's all fucking that guy. He does the same shit over and over. And
I
also,
noticed that during the action scene.
Yeah, and also there's another action scene where this... It jumped out at me. It almost made me laugh in an inappropriate time. Wolverine's running through the woods. He's like slashing people. There's blood everywhere. It's super violent. The music's like super exciting. And then a piano kicks in, like during the action, like the actual piano. I'm like, is that a piano in the soundtrack? Like, this is Marco Beltrami. You've done it again. Anyway, I'm not playing that song.
Something I forgot about Logan, Chris.
Oh,
when the movie,
throw it out there.
when the movie fucking started. Not even the movie. The fucking Deadpool preview.
I did want to mention that. Yeah.
For Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
That's worth going to
it's
see.
It's so silly.
It has a super fun Deadpool 2 intro.
For a second, I was hoping it was the actual intro to Logan.
To the movie.
Yeah. And I was like, no fucking way. They're going to do it. No fucking way.
Find a way to get the characters together on
technically
screen.
Technically, they were both part of the X program.
And Ryan Reynolds has been dying to do a Deadpool Wolverine anything. But Hugh Jackman knows that the tone would not have fit.
No.
They couldn't have put Deadpool in Logan.
No.
But he's open to coming back in the future, but right now he's saying no. Like, I'm done as Wolverine.
Let him show up in the next Deadpool movie.
Even for like a quick cameo or something. Uh-huh. Yeah, something fun, right? Yeah. He could do that.
Yeah.
It starts with like a 2 or 3 minute little apropos of nothing teaser.
Hilarious.
And it is great.
It's got nothing to do with any story or anything. It's just Deadpool being Deadpool.
Deadpool being Deadpool. And it's so funny. I described it to my dad and he was laughing. He's like, that's really funny. And he doesn't watch comic books anything. Yeah. And he's like, that's genuinely funny.
Nice.
Good job bringing that up here. So a couple songs from the Logan soundtrack. Enjoy that. And then we're going to be back with the second half of the show. We got a lot to talk about. So if you guys are ready, well, then let's do this. Thank you.
you been looking for an oddly specific type of weekly, one-hour, pre-recorded radio program slash podcast that is hosted by a couple of married idiots discussing the news of the week? You have? Huh. You can enjoy Talking Nonsense with Eric and Stacy along with our 26 other listeners by subscribing at iTunes, iHeartRadio, Google Play, and Alt360Radio.com. We also air at 8 a.m. Central on FM2 Talk Radio on TuneIn. Give it a shot. Or don't. My self-esteem really could use the boost, though. Thanks, buddy.
Hello, Cinema Crespediso listeners. This is Chris from BYOCB, the podcast where we drink, we laugh, we drink, inviting you to join myself and my co-host Alex as we take you out of a studio environment and into different environments that revolve around enjoying a few adult beverages with your friends. Check out our stuff at BYOCBShow.com or give us a follow on Twitter at BYOCBShow.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo.
That's Drewster Cogburn cracking the sounds of a White Claw.
Hard seltzer.
Hard seltzer. It says on the bottom of the can it's a beer. Have you seen these, Nikki?
No.
No? You don't know about White Claw?
Oh, it's fancy.
There's
It's not fancy.
No, they made the cans look fancy. They also made the cans look non-alcoholic, so soccer moms could drink it on the field and their kids wouldn't know that they're getting hammered on like 5-6% alcohol. It's beer. It says on the bottom of that can that it's beer. But it's marketed as sparkling water. And
nice.
there's another brand called Truly that's, I think, only at Target. Hmm. And that one has 4 grams of sugar per can. The one, the Truly that they have at Target, 0 grams of sugar. And none of that fake stuff either.
That's what I mean.
That's why I drink straight up. I just go straight up with the club soda and the vodka. And then it's Sunday, so I even threw in a little bit of lime there.
There you go.
But they have a lime one that pretty much tastes like this. It's
5% booze,
but it's 5% booze. But then there are other ones. There's what's the other one? It's Smirnoff.
Yeah, it's that stuff's gotta be Smirnoff Ice.
No,
rebottled,
right? It says on the package that one's a malted beverage.
It's a malt beverage, yeah.
Distinct difference. Mm-hmm. And there's a fourth one on the market that's also, I think, kind of a name brand sort of attempt at the sparkling booze thing, sparkling water booze. And that one is also a malted beverage.
Sparkling booze water.
Sparkling booze water. That's what it's all about now.
Yep.
Nice.
Fucking these motherfuckers out there right now on a cruise with 500 of their listeners. A Mediocre Time with Tom and Dan. Shout out to those guys. They've had me on their radio shit show a few times. And once on their podcast that they actually care about. They're sponsored by White Claw.
Yeah. Nice.
They got a White Claw sponsorship. Yeah. That's crazy.
Free boozy water.
They send them cases of it.
Here, have some booze water.
That would be such a bad situation for me. It's good we're not like... The only time we're sponsored by booze is when Tom the Beer Guy shows up.
And it's good he doesn't come by that often.
Yeah, no. I purposefully do not invite him over that often because I do not need that much beer in my life. That much access to alcohol. If they were delivering cases of...
OBP?
Of OBP, or I was going to say White Claw or anything like that here free...
Dude, I mean, you think
are barely getting done now.
Dude, if it was free, I'd become an alcoholic.
Nikki was witness to the extended break. Sorry about that.
No, it's totally fine.
It's a good thing you suggested starting the show earlier. Yeah, as a matter of fact.
Happy to.
Yeah, that was great. Let's get the plugs out of the way, Drew. We're going to be funny online.
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
Yeah, people know that by now. Uh-huh. Yeah, let's switch now, it up, man.
Why? It's boom. It's working. It is straightforward. It is to the point.
Yeah.
All the information you need. Done.
All right. Well, people, send him your favorite. Actually, send him your own written short story screenplays to Drewster Edits Short Films at DrewsterNeedsWork.org.
I'm a very poor editor. That's why I need work.
Yes, that's why you need some work. And you're also you're looking for feedback, so hit him up. Nikki.
Yes.
Where can people find you online specifically? Where do you want them seeking you out if they want to see what you're up to?
Facebook is good. Nikki Wilson with two L's.
Oh, straight up with two L's.
Two K's,
yeah.
Two L's. Instagram.
Would you friend people that you've never met before on Facebook? I do.
I do, yeah.
Drew does not.
Screw that.
I check out their page first and make sure they're not creepers.
Yeah, no. If I have not met you face-to-face, you are not... I got nothing to do with you on Facebook.
So you creep for a second to make sure they ain't creeping.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. But I've gone on... Never mind. yeah.
Well, self-editing. That's good. Thinking first before you speak.
I'm also cool with Instagram, Nick Film Producer.
Nick, N-I-K?
Yeah.
N-I-K Film Producer.
Yep.
Am I following you on that there?
I feel like yeah, but maybe not.
I'm going to double check that. What can you tell us? What are you up to? What's going on? What can you share with us? I know, first off, just to recap something I saw with the Oscars. Weren't you doing a live broadcast type thing? What was going on? You were directing something behind the scenes?
Oh, I've done a couple of things.
But very recently, though, I just saw.
A couple of weeks ago, we had the Hall of Fame stuff at Full Sail.
The Hall of Fame show.
Yeah, so it's like a week of panels and seminars and stuff. So I was live directing the panels in one of the classrooms, which was really cool because I got to see all the panels and was working. So yeah, it was nice.
That is pretty sweet.
And we had some really, really great panelists. And then I co-hosted with Carl, who's been a guest here before, for the live broadcast of the Oscars. We basically screen the Oscars on our big live venue screen and then play games in the commercial breaks.
Oh, that's cool.
And we had some amazing prizes this year.
Like what?
We had a VR gaming system.
What?
As the grand prize. We had bikes. We had...
It's all donated by companies and shit. Sponsors.
Some of the stuff we bought, the film department bought. TVs and PlayStations, and it was amazing this year.
For all like movie-related games and stuff?
A lot of... Well, we play a lot of the minute-to-win-it type games where like you have to stack 25 cups.
Oh, those types. See, that's why I'm asking. It was like movie trivia type games.
We
Drew
did
and
have
I would
movie
kill it.
Trivia. Yeah. Like every other round was trivia.
But like stacking cups. Can you stack cups, Drew, like really fast?
Not very well.
I felt really bad because we explained the rules and it was a guy and a girl playing that one together. And the guy did fantastic. He did a pyramid. And the girl just unloaded all of the cups on a pyramid shape on the table instead of stacking. And by the end of it, she had no clue that she was doing it wrong. It felt so bad.
But it is in the name stacking, though. Not...
Right.
Not shaping. It's not shaping cups. I feel like I do really good in shaping cups.
Yeah.
Like, circle, go, circle. Like I did it. Right? Drew? No?
Right.
No?
No.
He doesn't.
I do have actual stuff.
Yes.
promo stuff.
Give us some actual stuff here.
I'm taking Dutch Book with me to Cannes to try to promote. I talked about that a lot.
Dutch Book, that was, I think, the first time you were on our show. You were getting ready to premiere that.
Yeah, it might
that.
Have been the first one, yeah. We've done some film festivals with it. We shot another short with Roger Guinevere Smith from American Gangster.
Yes, he was also in a, he's in Spartan, one of my favorite David Mamet movies.
He's so fantastically weird, and it was...
one way to describe him.
Of course, I'm blanking on the guy's name, but we got the rights to a short story, one of the most well-known short story writers, and I think it's George Saunders, or Sanders. Really fantastic little short, really disturbing, and Roger was perfect as the lead in it. So we're doing festivals with that shortly. But I'm taking Dutch Book, trying to get it international distribution and stuff.
Exciting.
Working on that, yeah.
That's very cool. That was for sure the very first time you were on, was promoting that, and it was about to premiere at the Orlando Film Festival, I think.
Yeah,
so
that sounds right.
That was October 2015.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've done the film festival thing for a while, and
it's amazing how long people don't realize how long it takes just to get a movie seen and trying to build interest in it. You know, it's hard.
More editing too. We've done a lot more posts in the last year.
Tighten it up,
based
on screenings and stuff.
The writer director Jimmy Rapici, or James, whatever his fancy name. He has been in the directing program at Columbia for the last 2 years, year and a half, something like that. So he's been getting a lot of feedback from his instructors, who are all industry professionals.
The instructors there
are fantastic.
Opinions worth hearing.
Yes, absolutely. So we've done more posts on it to try to make it more marketable and
very cool.
A better, tighter edit. But I'm actually working on my own film.
What?
I know. It's very exciting. I was so excited that I was being asked back because I'm like, I have something finally to talk about.
Perfect. Let's hear it.
My own thing.
So exciting.
It's a documentary called #Adulting.
Hashtag adulting? Yep. Are we spelling out the hashtag, or is that the actual hashtag?
That's the actual hashtag. And it's essentially just a commentary / analysis on the millennials' sort of refusal to enter adulthood. And it's kind of asking the question why, and also if you saw The Big Short.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know the little segments like with Margot Robbie naked in the bathtub explaining the complicated
shit? So fantastic.
Yeah. So perfect for that. We're kind of taking that approach.
Anthony Bourdain, yeah.
Yeah, for the complicated things that we're going to have to explain, adulting things, 401ks and the boring stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to kind of take that twist.
Nice.
And try to present it in a fun, interesting manner. Acknowledging, yes, this is hard and complicated and boring, but we're dressing it up to get your attention, to get you to follow along. Yeah, that is a smart approach.
I'm excited about it. It's finally something that I'm doing myself instead of producing for someone else.
Yes, absolutely. What stage is this in?
We've just started. I mean, we're doing the pitch deck and kind of finishing because we want to get some money. I'd actually like to make the little segments be with stand-up comedians. I have a lot of connections to those
guys. Sure.
And, Craig Robinson and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So hoping to have actual money for them, but we're just starting. Most of it has been research for the last 6 months and doing surveys and filming interviews with students and stuff like that.
I'm really interested in do you have a budget already that you're looking for? So how much money are you trying to raise?
Man.
yeah
I mean, realistically,
give me the
dream budget,
if you could snap your a realistic dream budget, this is the amount of money that I need. If I could have it tomorrow, this is what I want. Boom.
If it was realistic and dream budget combined, it'd be $350,000.
That's it.
Yeah, it's not bad for a documentary.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say $2 million, $3 million.
No.
Even a dream budget, you would say, you wouldn't be happy.
I don't need that.
You don't even need
a small crew.
Don't even need $1 million, a cool million.
No.
You just need $350,000.
I
feel like we can raise that. We know enough people collectively, we can raise this.
That would be amazing if I could. Most of it is just gonna go to cast and talent. And
well, you said, trying to get Craig Robinson for 5 minutes to sit down and talk about something, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And I did get, I shot a piece for the pitch as kind of a little sell piece with Owen Benjamin. He's a comedian.
Yes, I've heard him on podcasts. Yeah,
he's fantastic.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Juicy Cog, we're in Reverse the World. We gotta stop and do some shit. Put a pin in this one, because we got a little bit more to talk about when it comes to #adulting. Yeah, real quick. We're going to do Drew Sakai versus the world. Drew is 5-1 this year, but just lost for the first time this year.
Yep.
Last week against PVT, Peter Von Taborski from the Scotch and Good Conversation podcast. Pretty good show. Actually, you'd be a good guest on that show. It's a really fun interview type thing. Like a one-on-one awesome. Mark Maron, Pete Holmes type of deal.
Fun. Yeah, I want to play.
Yeah, exactly. I think you'd be interested in that. This week's game is it's kind of a simple one. Actually, maybe a little too simple. We'll see. It's called Is This a Sequel? I'm going to tell you the name of a movie. You tell me whether or not it's a sequel.
Okay.
That's it. Yes or no. Since Drew lost last week, you got to go first, Nikki. Group A or Group B? Choose wisely. You're going to want to choose wisely. On this one, I think. I may have fucked up the...
I'm going to go Group A.
Okay, here we go. Number one, is this a sequel? Yes or no? The Bourne Identity.
Yes.
No.
Oh, fuck me.
That's the first one. That's the first one.
I hate those fucking questions.
Number two, Adam's Family Values.
That's a sequel.
Yes, correct. Number three, The Color of Money.
Not a sequel.
That is a sequel to The Hustler. Really? Yeah, it's like 50 years later type of sequel. Number four, 28 Days Later.
That's a sequel.
No, that's the first one. 28 weeks later.
I'm so bad at these games every time.
And number five, The Silence of the Lambs.
That's a confusing question.
You see,
trick question.
Explain yourself.
Because there's technically a thing before it, but that was the first movie, wasn't it?
So you're saying this is a sequel?
No.
But you just said there was a movie before it.
But it came out. Yes, it's a sequel.
That's correct. Yeah, it's a sequel. Yes. Manhunter came out in the 80s, and it's Hannibal Lecter. And then Silence of the Lambs, the second Hannibal Lecter movie.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Story-wise, yes.
That's why I said talk it out. I was fine with that. This isn't that rigid. I'm not a robot. I'm a trivia master in training, but I can be talked to.
Thanks.
2 out of 5.
Yeah. You suck ass at this all game. Right. I always suck.
All right, well, here we go, Drew. Dawn of the Dead.
I wish you guys could see.
Like, working on this in my head. Dawn of the Dead. No. Yes, it is. Damn it. Go.
What's the answer?
I answered no first, so I'm going to go with that.
Okay. Fair enough. That is incorrect. Night of the Living Dead came first, and then Dawn of the Dead. And then Day of the Dead. And then Dawn of the Dead. And then Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
Number two. Why didn't they remake it? Number two. Desperado.
Yes.
That is correct. Sequel to El Mariachi. Number three. Leonard Part 6.
Ooh.
No.
That is correct.
There's no Leonard Part 1 through 5. That's a joke that I use constantly.
That's the joke. Exactly. There are no other Leonards. Number four. Graffiti Bridge.
Never heard of that movie. Let's go with yes.
Yes, it's the unofficial sequel to Purple Rain, Graffiti Bridge with Prince. Number five. I Am Number Four.
You just said number five.
Correct. Number five is I Am Number Four.
No.
That is correct. That was the first movie of a series of movies that never.
You're
was,
way better at guessing.
Yeah, I'm very That's good at thing. Guessing.
He was all, those were all guesses, almost exclusively guesses.
Yes. That is true. Correct. Well, 50-50 shot.
50-50 shot. Well, congratulations, Drew. I'm going ahead and I should write that down as well. That you are now 6-1 for the year.
Nice
and
showing.
Nick stands a hand and a handshake. That's wonderful. Back to hashtag.
You can still suck it, though.
Bash that.
Yeah, fine.
Competitive spirit. I like it.
Totally cool.
Hashtag adulting. Documentary. So you're still like in pitch phase, getting everything together.
Just... We're actually just going to go all in pretty soon with the interviews for millennials and people who are experts in their field.
So when are you planning to start actually putting things down to camera? It's a film, so to speak.
Trying this month to schedule something in my ridiculous schedule.
Nice. So you're giving yourself a timetable to have it to be completed by, to abandon the project and finally call it quits.
I do not want to be doing this past December. So this year I'm just getting everything in.
See, this
I got it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You might end up being one of these of like a portrait of a artist of a, you know, Paul LeBrand type of thing. You follow a guy for 10 years and it takes that long for the story to emerge.
I can't see myself doing that.
25 series or the 7-Up series. What if you end up doing a 7-Up series with all these millennials? But, you know, but it's a continuous 7 years, yeah, over and over. It's just nonstop. It's like a Boyhood type thing.
It's at least interesting subject matter for me. So mm-hmm. when I'm, you know, researching and filming and stuff, mm-hmm. it's not boring.
Well, if you want to get some, talk to some millennials, Drewster Cogburn and myself, we're at the very top end, according to the numbers. We are just barely millennials, and
but we don't live at home.
You know, the tricky part is finding people who aren't film related. Like my whole network is film people.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find like kids from Rollins and UCF and outside of Orlando. And
that's true. That's true.
Trying to get a broader sample than just film people.
I have trouble finding people outside of the podcast community sometimes for like guesting and stuff like that.
I mean, you build your network and that's your network. Yeah, so it's difficult to do that.
That's what you put out a Craigslist ads for.
Yeah, that's been my last. I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet. So far, I'm doing word of mouth.
Just put it in the right section. You know, that's all you got to do.
But if anyone hears this and is interested, just hit me up on Facebook or...
On Facebook.
Yeah, that works.
I had to, you know what? I was not following you on Instagram.
Oh, so, sad panda.
But it's also a private account.
Yeah, follow me and I'll add you.
Okay, but it's private though. So, but follow you?
Yeah, but I'll add you.
Okay, yeah. but it's private.
Yes.
That just confuses me with social media when things.
The only reason I do that is because I have pictures of my daughter on there. But if
okay, all right, fair enough.
I try to keep weirdos out.
Sure, absolutely. Oh well, then don't add me. Then.
Chris is a weirdo.
I am a weirdo. Not that type of weirdo. But I am a weirdo. So, but no, okay, you got a reason then. Okay, understood there.
Yep.
I did send you a request over, actually.
I will add you immediately.
Fantastic. NIK film producer on Instagram. Hashtag adulting.
Yes. Exciting. Keep an eye out.
Well, I'm looking forward then to having you back on again in the future over and over, and we get the installments, the updates all the way through completion.
That'll
all the way on, until the festival debut.
That'll be my like set a goal.
Yes.
Next time I'm here I have to have finished.
You have to have finished
something.
Yeah,
how
about an update? Just a significant update in progress.
Yes.
That's all we're looking for. Our standards are low.
I mean, look at us.
Yeah, for real. I mean, look at that wonderful professional soundproofing we have over there.
It's beautiful.
There's no... From this side, actually, it's not too bad. But on the other side, it's like, what the... property values. I mean, it's not that important.
Right? No, not at all.
HOAs, they're not gonna... Condos.
Dude, it's inside the thing.
That's true, it's inside the thing. It's 100% correct. Anything else you want to plug, you want to throw out there, or you want to update with people on... That's pretty big news.
Oh, well, you could check out the John Legend Love Me Now video that I production managed the Orlando unit for.
Nice.
That was a really cool project. And nobody knows this from just watching the video, but... it's all about love. The whole video was different places. They went to Iraq to a refugee camp and followed a couple. They went to a Standing Rock and followed a Native American couple.
Yeah.
When they were in Orlando, it was two Pulse survivors that were in a couple.
Yeah.
So we followed them for all the stuff in our scene. And then the very end is all like 16 other Pulse survivors in the nightclub. I spent the entire production crying my eyeballs out.
Yeah.
But it was a really cool project to be a part of.
That's really cool.
Super, super humbling experience for sure.
What was the name of it again?
The Love Me Now, John Legend
Love
video.
Me Now. That is awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So where was it shot?
All over. We did Lake Eola.
Yeah.
We filmed at...
Like a lot of outdoor stuff?
Yeah, Taco Chino was one of our locations. We filmed the meeting and
stuff. So people from Orlando, if they watch it, they could tell, like, oh, that's for sure. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, it's standing out.
Yes.
Because that's what I get disappointed when things are shot in Orlando.
And you can't tell at all.
Yeah, it's like it could have been shot anywhere.
The
like,
Lake Eola stuff, you can definitely tell it's Lake Eola.
That's cool.
And Ibar, downtown, you can tell that's Ibar.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, people, check all that stuff out.
Good stuff.
There you go. Rate us or review us on iTunes, 5 stars. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Cinema Crespediso, and on Twitter at Crespediso. Let's check in with our New York City senior correspondent and horror film aficionado, Billy D. We got that new-ish. It's not that new anymore.
Whoa, this is heavy.
His intro.
There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Okay, you can hit up Billy on the interwebs, all over the internet, at I Love Blood. Weird name. Right?
A little bit.
Well, that's an intense name. I Love Blood.
Yeah.
It's like, what is, it's like his name is...
What kind of message is he trying to send?
But we're all filled with blood. He loves blood, so it means he loves all of us.
He's like,
I love blood. Follow me on Twitter at I Love Blood, and I will tell you about my love of blood and how much blood is inside of us. It is our fuel. And it makes us the machines, our flesh machines. It powers our flesh baskets. I also like puppies.
Right, isn't that ridiculous? I love blood.
He does like puppies.
He's the nicest guy. Billy's so nice. He's a great guy. So hit him up all over the internet at I Love Blood, and he hits us up every week with Billy these out of the movie. So go ahead, Drew, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy?
What a week. I got some new records, saw a horror anthology, and a couple comedy specials.
Horror anthology.
I'm going to start with the good stuff first.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to jump in the Wayback Machine here for a second.
Okay.
15 or so years ago, two bands came into my life. Both expanded my views of heavy music in different ways. One taught me to see beauty in chaos. The other taught me that heaviness doesn't always equal speed and shrieking. Both of whose bands had releases this week. Converge unleashed Jane Live, a live recording of the seminal Jane Doe. Played from front to back, it's in its entirety for the first time on stage. There's also a video of the set. It's interesting to hear the differences between how your memory of a thing competes with that thing when it is in front of you. Over the years, I've seen Jane in pieces, but I am a little bummed I missed this when it happened. The other is the new release by apocalyptic futurists Junius. They bring their specific brand of occult-tinged heavy to soaring new heights and bottomless lows on eternal rituals for the accretion of light. Reminds me of Undertow era Tool in places and Depeche Mode in others. I feel like Junius have actually been writing the albums that Deftones have been trying to write for the last 10 years.
Aww.
Just on a much slower Tool-like schedule, with this only being their third full-length record.
Why do you take that shot at the Deftones for? That one album with the owl on it, it's a good album. You're right, Drew.
It's not bad.
This guy's coughing.
I'm dying.
Gabe,
I'm slowly dying, Chris.
Our homie Gabe hit me up on Twitter. He's like, "Man, did you get that tweet?
Yeah, I got
a tweet. Concerned about the coughing.
Yeah.
I was concerned about
I'm
you.
I'm dying.
Man.
It's cool. Don't worry.
Like Logan it's dying. Fine. Like Logan style dying. You're just gonna let
maybe.
Has anyone told you that smoking's bad for you?
Really?
Don't you love when people say that?
Completely unaware.
That's my favorite
wait a minute.
Thing.
No. Smoking's bad. Wait.
I've never heard
you mean,
that.
You mean inhaling stuff that comes off a burning substance on a regular basis is somehow toxic to my lungs?
Apparently it is.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what they say. I don't believe it.
It's the honorable suicide.
Just
indeed.
Just breathe in fire.
I don't want to be 80 with diapers.
Oh,
that
God,
shit.
No.
65, I'm good.
Sure. I'm cool with that. Whatever.
All right. There you go, guys.
To the movies, Chris.
I was going to ask Drew if he had one of those smoking is dangerous for pregnant women packs. Because in which case, then he's fine. He can smoke those all
day. Yeah, I'm not a pregnant woman.
You're not a pregnant woman.
I saw a horror anthology on demand this week.
A whole anthology?
XX. Four horror shorts.
Oh, God, I forgot.
Directed by four women.
What'd you forget?
That's supposed to be at Enzian this past weekend?
No, it's there now. It's on the
right now?
It's on the marquee.
Forgot. Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
Like most horror anthologies, this was pretty uneven. This one had problems with the exception of the Melanie Linksy one. The Birthday Party was a fun short that was perfect for this type of anthology. The other three shorts were all pretty unmemorable or completely indecipherable. I like to think I'm a pretty smart guy, and one of these just didn't make any sense at all. I've written more cohesive scripts in 6 hours than this. Then it turned out to be based on a story, and I was like, what in the fuck? To make up for that mess, I stayed up watching stand-up on Netflix. Netflix has like 50 comedy specials coming out this year. Mike Birbiglia and Trevor Noah both have great specials that came out this week.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out unless you hate laughter. Stay cool, Billy V.
Casey, I hate laughter.
If you hate laughter, then fuck it.
Billy. We missed XX.
No, it's not there anymore.
Yeah, it was Friday and Saturday.
Oh, they did the thing where...
Fuckers.
They do that with horror films. They won't schedule it for like a whole week or two weeks. That's when we saw Autopsy of Jane Doe. Mm-hmm. It was.
I know. I meant to see that one too, and I missed it.
It was 1 week only, and it was the late show only. The early show, they were still playing whatever it was from like the week or two before.
Yeah,
something I had seen too. It was good.
20th Century Women, I think.
20th Century Women. Oh. What about that too? That would have been interesting. Good. Double feature: 20th Century Women and then Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Okay, sure.
Actually, I love 20th Century Women. That movie is
I heard wonderful things.
That movie is great.
It is. It was really good.
I'm really into, apparently, Mike Mills, because between that and Beginners, I'm like, all right, anything this guy does, like, I'm for. Thanks, Billy. We appreciate him with his reviews of albums, movies, and Netflix comedy series, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goddamn, Billy.
It's a busy week. What you said.
Really squeeze it in there. All right, you know what? Let's do where we are, the podcast of the people. This is this is the phone call of the people. That's the decline phone call of the people. And
the people
decline
your phone call.
And this is the segment of the people that we call the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox
Populi.
Populi.
What did you see? You tell us, and then we read it on the show. Actually, Drew reads it on the show, and I sit here and I use my phone.
Paul Hahn got at us. What's on up, Paul? Facebook.
On the Facebook. Thank you for getting that, Drew. I forgot to point that out. That's why I gave you Cinema Crespediso Facebook access.
And that's why I get shitty notifications for shit I don't care about sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, you know, I mean, people like our page. Well, that's a good thing when people like our page.
It is.
And then he gets upset about it. He's like, how do I shut this off? I'm like, no, revel in it. Revel. It's good. These are good pings. They're good ones.
He's got a Logan review.
All right, give us a see. Like Drew said, here we go with the Logan review. Ready.
I've been dying to see an R-rated Wolverine, and goddamn did this one pay off. The movie doesn't hold back on the fucks or adamantium claw-fueled violence from the jump. The story isn't perfect, and it's definitely not Old Man Logan adaptation, but still a really enjoyable watch. I'm hard-pressed to call it a comic book movie because it just feels so different than all the other Marvel DC films. And boy, does the feels, someone behind me was crying at one point.
Hey, I got a little emotional at the end.
I got a little teary.
I was like, oh, well,
everyone on my Facebook feed said they were crying.
Yeah.
For a Wolverine movie? Come on, that's ridiculous.
All dudes.
well, a bunch of
bitches.
I was going to say pussies. Bitches is a little misogynist. Like, I guess pussies, but we're just terrible people. What are we gonna do?
I loved the finale. A perfect end to Hugh Jackman's 17-year run as Wolverine, unless he gets to be an Avenger. P.S. Fox, please leave this character alone for the next decade. There are plenty of other mutants in the X-Men universe.
Yeah, we're going to put Wolverine to bed for a while. I mean, if we can't just immediately jump to a new Wolverine, right?
No.
And I didn't realize that was 17 years.
I know, right?
1999, 2000, was when, 2000 was when X-Men came out.
Yep.
Crazy.
This is the longest run, I think, of any one actor playing any one character. At least years-wise, if not a number of movies.
I was about to say, how many Spider-Men have we had?
Yeah, in the same time, we've had three different Spider-Men, two Batmen. George Clooney was like a year or two before X-Men. Two Supermen.
Two of all the X-Men. They rebooted the entire franchise.
Two of all the other X-Men. Yeah,
two of all of them except for Wolverine.
Except for Wolverine. That's crazy.
That's awesome.
That's crazy. So the next one's got to be. They got to make sure to get. If they do like the actual Wolverine, like.
I mean, the thing Logan, is, though,
they got to get a short guy. They got to make sure they get some dude under 6 feet tall, like 5'8", 5'7".
Because Wolverine's tiny.
He's supposed to be short. That's the whole point. He's a short little guy that people want to fuck with. He's a short little Canadian.
Yeah.
People are like, fuck that short little Canadian. And then he tears up the room.
he whoops out his closet and he kills everybody.
So, of course, they went and then they hired a jacked, huge Australian guy, you know? And I love
jacked,
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman?
Huge. Yes, exactly. He took the words, rearranged, and made them better. Put them out of your mouth. Yes. So I would like to see it done. When they first announced X-Men back in the 90s, I really wanted to see Henry Rollins. Which would have been fun. But now he's like 85 years old.
I know.
Still kicking ass.
Yeah, actually. At least intellectually. Thanks, Paul. We really appreciate the Logan review. Yeah, bitch pussy crying at the end of the movie like all these other dudes that Nikki's making fun of. Here we go. What's next?
We have an email from Scott.
All right, Scott, what's up? Here we go. This is going to take a while.
He's got Logan, Get Out, and the Great Wall reviews.
And the Great Wall. Did you get a chance to see that one at
all? Not going to happen.
Not at all? Not even interested?
No, it's not pretty. Even a little bit.
Interesting. Well, we're going to come back. I'm going to cut the movie news segment. It was only a couple stories anyway. And you touched on one of the stories earlier that I was going to throw out there really quick about something about how much money the Avengers movies are gonna make, gonna cost to make. Stupid amount of money.
Stupid amount.
Did you know the Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides is the most expensive movie to date? Cost them $350 million almost to make that movie.
Wow.
And it's a hunk of shit from start to finish.
Is that this new one?
No.
Oh,
the fourth one. Okay. The one done by...
I have no idea how many are out now.
The fifth one is the one that's going to be the new one. Which is, like you said, getting small-time directors to make huge movies. Directed by the guys that did Contiki, a little international film. Did you see that one? I've heard of it.
I haven't seen it.
Really good movie. Yeah. It's a small little movie. Yeah. But really well made. Very solid. And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll get these. Whatever they are. The Norwegian, I think. We'll get these two fellas.
Is only Johnny Depp the only one returning?
No, Jeffrey Rush is in it as well.
Oh, gotcha.
And I don't think Orlando Bloom is in it. Javier Bardem is the bad guy.
Yep.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
So he'll be...
I gave up on that franchise.
He'll be phonetically speaking his way through it. the fourth one is just complete garbage. Like, the third one was garbage, too.
Yeah.
This one has ghost sharks. The new ones.
Oh, sweet. Well, now I'm there opening night. Now I'm there on Thursday night. Are you kidding me? Ghost Sharks? I had no idea. Now I'm there in 3D.
Asylum style.
Now I'm watching it in 3D. And I forgot my initial point. God damn it, I forgot my point. No, The Great Wall, he's going to review it in a minute here, lost money. Ends up losing money. It was supposed to be this big China's first huge Hollywood blockbuster production. Well, ironically, fittingly, I guess enough, it's going to end up costing everyone altogether about $70 million. Oof. Is what they're going to lose theatrically.
That's why you don't cast a white dude in a movie about China.
Well, well, that's the thing. China did that because they wanted to make money in America.
Of course.
But American audiences were like, we're not having this. So it only made $35 million here. Chinese audiences, everything else, it's a very Chinese movie. In China, it only made, quote, only made like 200 and maybe like 250 million. They were expecting much more in China. Mm-hmm. And then in other international markets, it was flat. It ended up making like 350 million overall worldwide. And they were hoping for like 700 million at least, like Deadpool money, mm-hmm. you know?
Yikes.
But they got like Hulk money.
Well, the movie wasn't even as good as Deadpool.
Not even close. But it's still Zhang Yimou. It had its thing. We talked about the things I liked about it.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't like recommend it to people.
Yeah.
No,
not really.
No. Like, unless you like...
If you want to see a good Zhang Yimou movie, go see Hero.
Yeah, if you want a specific... If you're looking for a specific aesthetic, it can fill that for you. But that's that Venn diagram of people is so small. It was pretty much Drew and I was in the middle of that Venn diagram. So.
All right, so Logan.
And maybe Scott will find out eventually.
Logan.
Logan.
Yeah.
Wait, which one?
Logan.
Okay, here we go.
Retarded.
Take a shot every time we say Logan. Did he say retarded?
Hang on a second. Retarded. Bullshit. That was stupid. What the fuck? These are actual quotes from various people in my theater that I heard rather loudly as soon as the closing title card came up on screen at the end of the movie.
Interesting.
And while I wholly disagree, I do think I understand where they're coming from.
Interesting.
I think that what they really meant was, that's all. On this particular note, I kind of agree with them. This is such a stripped-down, quote-unquote, superhero movie. It's basically a tri-generational, dysfunctional family road trip drama.
Yeah.
Think Little Miss Sunshine, except Greg Kinnear and Abigail Breslin both had adamantium claws, and Alan Arkin was the world's most powerful dying telepath. And the only thing the grown-ups cared about is getting the girl to her pageant. The so-called stakes of this story are so minimal compared to what we're used to, and even the big win at the end may or may not be anything real. So yeah, I get these people's frustration. Nevertheless, Logan is a great movie. The visceral R-rated version of Wolverine finally does not disappoint. So much blood. But what I'm really all about is Laura. As much as I relished every violent, gory, blood splash slice of Logan's claws, I enjoyed even more how brutally she matched him almost every step of the way. And all the excitement, fight choreography, and stunt doubles notwithstanding, young Daphne Keene was spectacular. All the way she used her face, even while mute, conveying so much emotion, wow. And then she'd grunt or scream or talk. My only criticism is how Laura was done. The Laura character was done. I would like to have seen her bloodied a little more. I don't mean to sound like an asshole, and of course I abhor all violence against children, but Logan took so many shots to his head, and yet Laura, fighting many of the same dudes, never once even took a scratch to her face. I get why, but it just wasn't realistic compared to how gruesome everything else was. 3.5 out of 4.
Yeah, but This is a spoiler because it happens pretty early on. It's a kid, Laura, right? Yeah. That they're transporting. He says in the trailer, like, she's very much like you, Logan, because, you know, she's like tiny Wolverine. Very early on, she gets like a spear harpoon right through the chest. Right. Boom!
Yeah.
And she's like, ah! And she grabs and just pulls it out.
Yeah, no, she cuts off the tip and yanks the rest of it out.
Yes! Yeah. And then she proceeds to continue fucking people up.
She reminded me of...
She was such a badass.
Of Chocolate.
Yes, Chocolate. Oh, what a good movie.
Tiny little girl just whooping everybody's ass.
But even younger, more of a hit girl, kick-ass age range. Chocolate's like a teenager.
Yeah.
This chick's like, what, maybe 11, 12,
she was
like
murdering
that?
The fuck out of grown men.
Man, it's so intense. And I also like, too, I forgot to mention, I like that she's a Spanish character.
Yes, she is.
Because when the movie starts, Logan has to fuck up some cholos.
Uh-huh.
Goddamn. And I'm like, oh, great, yeah, get some more brown people. Or street thugs that rob
and the new girl starts spitting out Spanish a million miles a minute.
Yeah, well, because she was raised in Mexico and everything. So it's like, oh, okay, at least they balance out the... Anyway, go ahead with this.
Get Out review.
Get Out.
White people are the fucking worst. I say this while sporting a melanin tinge only slightly darker than that of Caliban from Logan. This was a terrific goddamn film. I can't help but compare it to Cabin in the Woods in its execution, though with far greater intentions. Both films had such unique and terrifying screenplays with the ideal balance of tension and humor and horror, and with some excellent plot twists along the way.
Both films also had Bradley Whitford.
But where Cabin was so perfectly campy, self-aware, and tongue-in-cheek in its skewering of a particular film genre, Get Out is even better, because its sights are set so, so much higher. It aims to scope at white privilege and hits the bullseye every step of the way. Jordan Peele shows some remarkable filmmaking chops here, not just the writing, but the directing. He creates so many scenes that are truly memorable, while striking visuals and audio tracks, setting moods that the world palpable does a disservice. Get Out is so great, it might ultimately be his best work, but it certainly hope it's not his last. 4 out of 4.
Alright. Yeah, it's not going to be his last. It's our battle. Plus, it's making money, so it's going to keep going.
And The Great Wall.
All right, hear what he says about The Great Wall. See if you liked it.
First off, I want a nunchuck drum kit and one of those awesome purple armor suits just to take with me to Orlando City matches. Hashtag man the wall. Hashtag OCSE.
Nunchuck drum sets are awesome.
They are. Alas, the story is good, but not nearly as great as its wall.
Hey-o!
I didn't see it in IMAX or 3D, yet I was still very impressed on how beautiful the film looked. So brilliantly colorful, and with so many action shots, that made me wish that I'd gone last week while there was still a 3D showing at my cinema. As a moviegoer, there's nothing worse than watching this kind of movie and to see shit flying at the screen and to be left wondering, what if?
Yeah. Would that have looked cool? Yeah, that's annoying when that happens.
I loved seeing a woman in charge, albeit eventually, and that her brigade was the most fearless, baddest ass motherfuckers of all. Perhaps China is slowly wising up to the whole sexism deal. But man, I could have done entirely without Matt Damon, and as much as I love him, Pedro Pascal. They just didn't need to be there at all. Willem Dafoe too. The whole Eastern Traders buddy thief shit was 100% unnecessary. Mm. Yep, I agree with everyone else who believes that there's a second Chinese version of the Great Wall out there. The one that was never meant for American consumption. That's the movie I want to watch in IMAX 3D. 3 out of 4. Take care, guys. Scott.
He wants to see the secret Chinese only the Great Wall. That's a conspiracy theory. Where'd you get that from? InfoWars? Got that from movienews.bash.uk.co. Fake movie news.
It is.
I can't title this episode Fake Movie News. I already titled another episode Fake Movie News. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate the trio reviews. What else we got, Drew?
We got a Get Out haiku review by Rage Against Wit.
Nice.
Very active crowd. Hypnosis. Under the skin. Okay, see it, though.
Okay?
Okay, see it, though.
See it, though. Okay. Didn't sound too enthused.
Maybe it wasn't his cup of tea, Chris. Okay, it happens from time to time.
Fair enough. Moving on.
Thanks,
Rage. Homie Gabe.
We've got an email from Luis Modesto.
What's up, Luis?
Yo, cinema homies. So I haven't given you a rating on iTunes yet because I don't have an Apple anything, but I did go and download the app because I'm trying not to be lazy on the 1.7. I tried to create an account, and I really did give it that old college try, but since I'm just trying to break up the banks and all my money is under the mattress, I don't have a credit card to enter.
I do have one. I just don't want to leave my number in an app that I may never use again. So that's as far as I got in creating an account. If you know how to get around it, let me know and I'll take another crack at it. Next thing, I don't remember what episode it was. What was the other movie you recommended to watch alongside Morris from America? It was was it Beginning Charlie or Newman?
It's probably Being Charlie, because I saw we saw all those right around the same time. Well, I mean, at the film festival. Morris from America, A24.
And we talked about Hunt for the Wilder People a lot.
Hunt for the Wilder People.
Morris so from good.
America. So good, yeah. Wasn't it?
So amazing.
Yes. Have you seen Morris from America?
No, that was on the list.
Okay, that's Don't the thing. That's Craig. What he's saying. You have to. You got to see Hunt for the Wilder People and Morris from America, and then you can imagine the glory that would be Ricky Baker from Hunt for the Wilder People, yep, hooking up with Morris from America. These two going on a road movie together in China. I was trying to think of where would be the weirdest place to drop these two characters, like the most foreign, different place for them, like China. Yeah. Boom, right in the middle. They have to like get their way out or something, or mass or something.
Be
great.
That would be fun.
Those are the two movies, Luis, for sure. And as far as the iTunes thing, I don't know. Borrow someone else's iPhone and then leave a review on their account. How about that? If you don't have an iPhone account, but you know people that do, use their accounts, leave us 5-star reviews because we need them.
And I know Gabe didn't ask me, but I'm going to give you my top 3 movie bands.
This is a reference to a question from last week's show.
Number 1, Sex Bomb. 2, Are You Randy from Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, just because of how much they were hated for always pulling a bait and switch, and the one super fan they had. Finally, 3 is The Clash at Demon Head. They just edged out the jerk-offs / A Fistful of Assholes, also from Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist. I'm done now.
True, speaking of Brie Larson, Clash at Demon Head from Scott Pilgrim was an awesome fake band. Can you think of any fake bands that you like? Last week, a question was, name 3 favorite fake bands or music acts for movies. One that I thought of was Figure and Dan and the Modal Nodes, the Muppet Band, and the Cantina Scene, and Mos Eisley on Star Trek. Nice. That's Jizz. The name of that type of music is called Jizz. That's canonical. Jizz.
So weird.
J-I-Z-Z, not even written differently. Jizz.
Jizz.
What's wrong with you, George Lucas?
Lots of things.
Lots of things.
I was trying to remember the name of the band from Eurotrip that does Scotty Doesn't Know. I know that
fronted by Matt Damon?
Yes. Whatever that band is.
Yeah, it was Matt Damon's band.
That's one of my favorites.
What was the name of that band?
I don't remember. All I remember that it was Matt Damon singing that song, and I was like, yes, what the fuck is going
on? Such a great song.
Do you remember any of your answers from last week?
I talked about real bands in movies, because my number 1 Cannibal Corpse.
Cannibal Corpse. Which is a great answer.
Playing Hammer Smash Face.
That's a fantastic answer. If you watch that movie, right, Ace Ventura goes to this club, because the guy he goes see is in the back of the rock club.
Yeah.
He shows up and Cannibal Corpse is in Tampa. Right, and Cannibal Corpse is also, Jim Carrey is a death metal fan. At least he was back then. And Cannibal Corpse is on stage, and they're playing Hammer Smash Face. And he's like, he listens to the band for a little bit, and then he goes out back, and he sees the guy, New England Clam Chowder. Yeah. Right? And the whole scene, he goes to the party where Udo Kier is the host. It's like the next day. I think he hooks up with Courtney Cox. A whole lot of stuff
goes on.
Eventually,
he goes back to the club.
Cannibal Corpse is still on stage in the same outfit, still playing Hammer Smash Face.
Yeah, I remember that movie well because I used to masturbate to it when I was like 8 years old.
All right.
Any part specifically?
Yeah, when him and Courtney Cox are hooking up and the animals' heads bob up and down.
That was
my first porn. Yes.
You don't even see anything.
You're welcome.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm trying to remember. You see, you had the birds' heads going up and down.
Yep.
The monkey, everybody.
And then she says, all of them. 3 times? He goes, I'm sorry, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready again.
Like, yeah, it's like,
it's been 20 years and I still remember.
I think I was 10 or 11 when that movie came out. And some friends of mine saw it at school first. And at lunch, I remember them describing the scene. And this kid, the Spanish kid that we call Chico, this little skinny kid, describing the bird and the way his head was bouncing up and down during that scene. I still remember. I remember that.
Yep.
Which is weird. It's weird, right? What the fuck? what's wrong with us?
They don't have a whole lot of options.
Lots of things.
That's true. No, back then, you know, people didn't know.
No internet.
People didn't know the lack of options we had. Watching, going to channel 62, and it's all scrambled, and it's like...
Truth.
I remember seeing my first scrambled titty.
You remember seeing your first scrambled titty?
I remember that shit, yeah. It's at my buddy Brian White's house.
Oh, my dad also had penthouses, so I saw non-scrambled titties.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My cousin had a crate full of Playboys in the garage a few blocks
from, like, the 70s, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, my dad had a VHS from the 70s.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, really?
I still remember the plot. It was, like, a guy who had a remote control who could push buttons and his wife's clothes would come off. It was pretty awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hit the button and it just
it's gone.
The bra would go,
and she brought him on a food fishing line. And stuff.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Good times.
Yeah, that 70s porn would mm-hmm. exactly revolve around the idea of I'm gonna control this woman with a remote control. She's gonna bring me food, and then we're gonna have the sexes, and it's gonna be a male fantasy. This is what men want. They want to see this.
Correct.
Yep. That sounds about right. That sounds about right. Either that or Ace Ventura. Yes, I'd go Ace Ventura as well. I thought you were saying maybe
I derailed that comment.
I thought you were saying maybe the scene where they're like he's going around checking their rings and like he's checking out, like he's trying to check out the dude's package. You see a little bit of butt, see some butt cheek in the.
Nope.
He uses the towel and he whips. No.
Nope.
Oh, we got an email from
Sean Young. Sean Young was looking hot in that movie too. None of the Sean Young stuff. Yeah. No, they're making out on the desk and.
Nope.
Got an email from our buddy Jared.
Is that your gun in your pocket or? Your gun is digging into my hip. That's what he says.
Yeah,
your gun is digging into my hip. And then she leans in further. And then later, he's like a little bit of transphobia. He's like,
your gun's digging into my hip.
Yeah. As he chews like 20 pieces of gum.
Yep.
You could not make that movie today.
No. You could. Some people would be angry about it though.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. A lot of people would be
might
angry
get
about
controversy.
It.
You'll get some controversy, definitely. But it'll still get made because transphobia is one of the last. Yeah. That and making fun of Asians. Mm-hmm. Those are like the last two things that you can still do in mainstream entertainment.
Finkel as Einhorn, bro.
Also, liberals are still cool with homosexuality as being something to laugh at. That's why you see two straight guys kissing each other, like Ryan Reynolds kissing Hugh Jackman. Everyone's like, oh, ha, ha, ha. It's like, what's up with it? Is it two guys kissing? Is that supposed to be? They do it to be humorous.
Yeah.
But it's not humorous. It's just two guys kissing, right?
True.
But they're liberals. They don't mean it. They don't do it to be mean. But when you break it down.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Stay woke.
All right, so we got an email from our buddy Jared.
Drew gives the least fucks of all that stuff. I thought we were talking about Ace Ventura.
What?
He was into that conversation way more than the treatment of homosexual rights in mainstream entertainment.
I mean, it's fucked up.
And the liberal elite and their hypocrisy. And,
yeah.
I mean, it goes both. It's both sides.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. We're all piece of shit humans.
I'm just out of my joint. We're going to barrel towards the end here. Let's finish this up.
So we got an email from Jared.
Jared, our homie Jared. Jared's been supporting us since the beginning.
Hey, dude. This is your old pal Jared, jhi87 on Twitter.
Yeah, he's been around since
I thought
SBK
of a
days.
Kind of cool Bill Paxton story I thought you may want to share.
Rest in power, Bill Paxton.
On the show when you talk about his passing. If you do not want to tell, that's fine, too. Your show is boss anyway.
Oh, what a nice guy.
I was on the same flight as Mr. Paxton from Orlando to Dallas in 2014. I didn't know it because he was in first class and I was definitely not. We actually ran into each other literally in the bathroom after we landed, and being a really big fan of his work, I immediately recognized him but did not want to bother him as he was on his way to handle his business.
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes later, I actually ended up standing right next to him as we were waiting for the luggage, and I decided to go for it and strike up a conversation, and he could not have been cooler.
Aww.
We talked weird science. And he was getting ready to shoot and just his career in general. He was so humble and just kept repeating how lucky he felt to have had the career he had. Dude did not have any handlers, grabbed his own bags, and boarded the shuttle on his way to pick up his rental car. Anyway, it was a small interaction, but there was not an ounce of pretentiousness, nor at any time did he look to be annoyed as I can't kind of fanboyed out. Was a cool moment for me and really made me like him even more. An awesome meet your hero experience. Been listening to you since your first appearance in SBK Live, and it has been awesome to see your show grow and the reach keep getting bigger with the mediocre / corporate time stuff as well as the DLM appearances. Always rooting for you to get bigger and better than ever. Sorry for the long-winded email and hope you have a great Oscar night. J. Jared.
Oh, thanks, Jared. Appreciate that. Yeah, he said that like after we finished recording last week's show. Bill Paxton had just died last Sunday, which was a real bummer. Of course, it's nice hearing that when the...
I've heard nothing but good things.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a lot of, you know, industry folks on my feed posting all good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, that happens, too, when people die.
I can't remember what film it was. Something in New Orleans, though, and a bunch of the crew commented that he would stay and help clean shit up.
Oh, really?
No actors fucking ever do shit.
Yeah, for real. But that's... When you first start making movies, though, in the very beginning, that's, like, rule number one.
It was
clean
frailty.
Up after yourself. Frailty.
So
Frailty.
It wasn't New Orleans. It was, I think, L.A.
Frailty, he directed that.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh, man. I fucking loved that movie. So there we go.
That directing movie. And cleaning up.
Yeah, he directed and cleaned up. Yeah, that's
enough of a sign of how good of a human being he was.
How conscientious of him he is of his environment. That is, like, the first thing you learn is supposed to, when you use a location, clean up. You're supposed to leave it better than when you left it.
True.
And when you hear about stories about these big productions, like when Skyfall shot in, like, Tunisia, and they fucked up a bunch of historical, like, rooftops. It's like, guys, come on, man.
Disney did that here in Orlando.
You didn't
hear about that?
What?
The production, they destroyed some historical locations.
Oh, here in Orlando?
Yeah. Somewhere in Sanford.
What, during the 60s? What, when they first put it in Disney?
Walt before Disney, the movie, with John Heder and Thomas Ian Nicholson.
Which, that was just like a year or two ago, right?
Yeah, pretty recent.
What did they do?
They, like, drilled holes into a, like, 100 fucking year old house.
Something.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Some historical site, but they got sued.
We'll caulk it up.
Yeah.
We'll fill it up with toothpaste. Some people are idiots. You know, not all production crew is equal. That is for sure. All right. Well, that's it for the Vox Populi.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. We appreciate all the input. You guys are the best. It is time for the lightning round.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, Nick, you've done this before. I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. We're going to do this really fast. You ready?
Yes.
All right, Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, Universal or Disney?
Universal.
Number two, ice cream or frozen yogurt?
Frozen yogurt.
Number three, pizza or pizzazz?
Pizza.
Number four, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Battletoads?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Five, awards for art or penalties for farts?
Penalties for farts.
Aluminum can, pipe, or apple bong?
Aluminum can pipe.
Number seven, roller coasters or drink coasters?
Roller coasters.
Number eight, Bloods or Crips?
Bloods.
Number nine, Canada or Mexico?
Canada.
Number 10, Thunder and Lightning or Peanut Butter and Jelly?
Thunder and Lightning.
Oh, very interesting. Let me see. I tabulate these scores here. Yeah, you take a two there. And this makes you a type B personality with hints of...
Masturbation.
Of Ace Ventura masturbation. If I didn't already name a show hashtag adulting, this show would be called either that or what was the thing about the let's do the swag bag giveaway. We got two bags here. We got the blue bag, we got the green bag. You can take home one of these. Which one
the green
would you
bag.
Like?
Are you colorblind, Chris?
Yeah, I am.
I'm gonna go you with know the that?
That's a nice green blue shirt you're wearing.
Bag?
The blue bag, or the red bag?
Blue bag. Blue all the way.
Because I'm looking at the green can. I don't know what's going on.
Green bag. What? Dude.
blue and red together makes green.
No, it doesn't.
Right? On the color wheel?
No.
Nope.
No?
Yellow and blue make green.
Yellow and blue makes poo.
You make it to go home with a pair of play handcuffs. They're
sweet.
Safe and fun. They have a safety release press button.
Yeah, it's for
I've
safety.
I've been in the market for those, so thank you.
A Blu-ray DVD digital HD copy of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
You didn't work on that movie, did you?
No.
Because it's a hunk of shit, probably.
A puzzle bug, 100-piece puzzle of a chimpanzee running a tractor.
Come on.
Fuck yes.
Come on. That's awesome.
And a whole bunch of stickers.
A whole bunch of stickers. Yay. Please, those stickers and other stickers. You can take all that home with you right now, or we put it away, and you take what Drusick Cochran has in the box. That's right over here. You know, the box is a good old box.
What's in the fucking
box? Man.
Oh, we got the box, and there's stuff in the box for sure.
I like surprises, but I like those handcuffs.
And the monkey on the tractor puzzle.
Yeah. And the monkey.
That too.
He's wearing a cowboy hat and a bandana.
And overalls.
Yeah, yeah. And overalls. There's been a couple times I've gotten drunk and wanted to crack that open and put it together so I can take a picture of it and put it on Instagram.
Shit.
Oh, shit. What were you
I'll go
do?
With the box.
Oh, I'll tell you what's in the box. Here we go. Okay, pop that top. Go ahead. What we got in there?
Always a bad choice.
Oh, but... no, it's another swag bag! What?
Nice.
You got another bag.
You got another swag bag filled with shit. What's some of the stuff in there? Go ahead.
Oh my God.
What are some of the things we got in here?
We've got a King Kong DVD.
King Kong on DVD, the original 1933.
A vintage buzzer ring
got
toy.
Buzzer ring, yeah. Buzz people's hands. You got a not a slinky.
Not a slinky.
A
fun spring. It's not a slinky.
It's a metal fun spring.
I got a pile of poo.
Fake poo. You got the fake poo. Look at the fake poo.
I'll be giving that to Carl when I give him his performance review.
Good old Carl. Oh, shit.
Bunch of stickers. What's this guy? Oh, sweet. That's a replacement for the handcuffs. It's
yes.
Lube
there you go. Spunk, you got the fake lube.
It's fake?
No, it's real.
Oh, no, it's fake sperm. It's real lube. It's fake sperm. It's called Spunk.
Oh, goodness.
There you go. Enjoy.
And Olympus Has Fallen.
The bootleg.
And Cocktail.
And Cocktail.
All the same bootleg DVD. Yes.
Cinema Crest when you saw bootleg amazing. Edition DVD.
And a bunch of stickers, it looks like. Yes.
So you got a sweat.
Oh, wait. I also got a Reggie Jackson baseball card.
Nice.
That's just what I wanted.
This is it. This is the best.
I made an excellent choice picking the box.
Good job, Nikki. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You are awesome.
It was a pleasure as usual.
Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Break up the big banks. Read more books. Stuff your money in your mattresses and be excellent to each other. We are out of here.